Hey, everybody, Rob here, getting you ready to listen to Shannon Gus's incredible coverage of Australian Survivor, which is back with a brand new season. It's Blood versus Water, featuring the Queen of Survivor, Sandra Diaz-Twine, and her daughter, Nina, competing as one of the pairs in this brand new season of Survivor Blood versus Water. Three episodes of Australian Survivor have aired. You know, it's not super easy to watch it in other parts of the world that are not Australia. That is one of the benefits of becoming a patron of Rob's podcast. We make it super easy for you to watch Australian Survivor. So if you are looking for the ways to watch this show, robswebsite.com/patron is a great way to start. I want everybody to hear how incredible Shannon's coverage always is here of Australian Survivor. You could hear it today in the Rob's Podcast main feed. And if you want to hear it all the time, subscribe at robswebsite.com/global feed for all things International Survivor with Shannon Gus. And here is our recap of week one of Australian Survivor on the Survivor Global Podcast feed.
Hello everyone, and welcome to RHAP's coverage of Australian Survivor Blood versus Water. I'm your host Shannon Gus, here to talk about, I thought, a great week one. I had a lot of fun with it. The twists weren't overblown. Some of them that were have already solved themselves. Fun cast, Sandra made it through, Nina's epic, like pretty much everything you could ask for from this week. So I have such a great guest to break it all down with me. This is a guest who is an icon, who is beloved, who is very generous. Is that Oprah? No, it's Rob Sestanino. Rob, thank you for being here.
Yeah, I was about to go to KFC, but instead I'll stay and podcast about the first week of Australian Survivor.
The crazy thing is that KFC is a sponsor, so that's just great. Already, we also got some brand new content. You got to love it.
Yeah. And that's Kentucky Fried Chicken. I just want to make sure.
Yeah. Okay. You guys call it KFC, right?
Yes, yes. Okay. Yes. What do you call it?
KFC.
Okay.
Yeah, it was in the show last night.
Yes. Okay.
Okay. Translating that one.
I just wanted to make sure that KFC in Australia didn't stand for like a completely different set of initials.
Yeah, you would think in Australia the F would mean something different. We love to swear. Sandra's not getting bleeped out. This is where she's meant to be. She's home now. Home with the other swearers. Yeah.
Right. I mean, it would be a little bit weird if, like, you know, I told you that we were going out to, like, Queensland hamburgers after the show.
Queensland hamburgers? You just made that up because you just made up any burger place in Queensland?
Yeah. I mean, Kentucky. I wouldn't think that.
Okay. But no, but KFC is that's like completely universal. Like, that's so much more than Kentucky. It's Kentucky Fried, but not Kentucky Eaten.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. But that's the name.
Okay. Well, we didn't need to go down this rabbit hole, this chicken hole, because we have a lot to talk about. Rob, thank you for being here. Thank you for watching 4 hours of Australian Survivor. Think about how much of American Survivor we'd be through right now if we had consumed 4 hours.
I mean, we'd be at the swap.
Yeah, exactly. We'd be on day 20.
It'd be the final third five. Of the show. Yeah. A third of the show. Like, okay, well, like, we know who's going to win, who's not.
Yeah, for sure. Well, are you enjoying it? Like, I want all your broad thoughts on this.
Yeah, I always enjoy it. You know, it's just a lot and it's hard to keep up with it, but it's always like very well done. You know, it's very exciting to have Sandra and Nina, and, you know, I love the pair. So this seems like the season is off to a great start. Like, it's so epic in terms of, you know, how it's all put together. So it is always a fun ride.
Yeah, no, I think it's been a fun ride. I definitely think it's too long. That would be like my broadest criticism, but that's what it is. That's the commercial necessities. That second tribal council, I just felt it went on for just years, maybe, because right. We only knew that Brianna was like the only option, and the only question was like whether Shay would play the idol on her. We just kept peppering her with questions. Other than that, I felt like a lot of good content, some brutal challenges, the theme is hitting, and every time Sandra is on screen, and Nina, really, I mean, there's obviously other good characters we'll talk about, but like, I'm like aching to get just like a glimpse of Sandra at any given time.
Yeah, I mean, Sandra, you know, has been like as promised. Like, Sandra is there. She's doing like Sandra things. Yes. You know, she's got her, you know, stuff down. But I mean, I really, the headline for me is that I'm so blown away by Nina.
Yeah. Well, that's what I said preseason.
The Sandra reboot.
Yeah. Well, it's like kind of going back in time, seeing Pearl Island Sandra. But just with like that extra two decades of wisdom. But I said preseason that if Sandra's great, like people want to watch Sandra, but if you aren't watching Australian Survivor, you're missing Nina, and like you've never met her, and like she's going to be epic, and she's important to the global franchise, and we have her. And the fact that she's like delivered on that in one episode, or in 1 week, but really from that first episode, it really made this kind of essential Survivor viewing for me.
Yeah. I mean, I just thought that was so great to have Nina here, and then to be sort of like arrive like full, like a fully formed peak Sandra. It was incredible, and Sandra, it was nice to have Sandra here. But I mean, really, Sandra, that she didn't get herself voted out. If she would have gotten voted out, I would have said there was nothing she could have done. She allowed Dave to self-destruct. I don't think she really contributed much to Dave self-destructing, other than, you know, like being a part of some conversations. But she's still there. She survived the week. And that's all important. But Nina has really was such a superstar this week.
Yeah, I think you're underselling Sandra. Like, from a content perspective, just like, it's so fun. She came in on a helicopter.
Yeah.
Peter was crying.
Yes.
Which was fun. People were tearing up about
it. Your husband cried when Sandra came in.
He had tears in his eyes for real. And he didn't want me to tweet that, and I did. And now he definitely doesn't want me to say it on the podcast, and I am. But I was like, this is why I married
you. I didn't know he was so emotionally invested in Sandra.
He loves Survivor, and how could you not? Like, chills on my arm seeing her come in on the helicopter.
Yeah.
And
then she said, didn't really do her a lot of favors.
Yeah, exactly. Someone actually asked a question on Twitter saying, like, oh, why would she do that strategically? I'm like, no, she's got no choice on the helicopter. Like, she has to come in. And then she's giving us, like, the lines. Queen says queen. Anyone but me. Nina said, I don't know about that. Like, you know, those are the hits that we as fans, like, want. So I think from a content perspective, all of her confessionals were firing. She just was super, super fun. From a strategic perspective, yes. She didn't get voted out. She just did, you know, less wrong than other people. She's not going to make the dumb mistakes that other people are. And just
which
a smile on her
face. Player, Shannon, like, probably would have spiraled. You know, right, would have just like gone into full meltdown. So Sandra, like the confidence was all there. She did nothing. She did nothing wrong. It's just like, but it wasn't also like, you know, I don't think that we'll see like any particular move added to the Mike Bloom list of like top 30 greatest Sandra moves.
No, we won't. But for me, it's just, it's the awareness. It's the smile on her face when Dave is spiraling, because she just kind of knows how these newbies can get in their head. It's saying to us, I'm going to get Ben to do my dirty work. And then he does. It's even having that connection enough to have someone who can tell her she's on the chopping block. You know, Russell didn't have connections like that. Not to compare it to Russell. It's the only example we have of someone coming into Australian Survivor. Like, she's had some bonds with people willing to vouch for her. She's not going to screw up in the way that the newbies are. And, you know, she sits back with her expertise and just like, you know, general likability. She sat out of only one challenge. She's trying to hang with the people. So, I mean, no, is it going to be like, oh my God, look at this epic movie. Is she going to get chizzy points this week? Probably not. Her heir to the throne, she's, you know, definitely in the conversation, but she survived, and I think she kind of did exactly what she needed to do, and hopefully that'll build to bigger things.
Yeah, and I'm trying to think about, like, if we really have this, I guess, like, I think Survivor was, like, going for this with, like, oh, let's bring in Brandon Hance, or even with its own Blood versus Water. But I don't think that Survivor has ever, the U.S. Survivor franchise has ever really, like, produced, like, a new superstar, like from the DNA of an original superstar. They have never cloned a new person. And I feel like that like professional wrestling does this where, you know, I've been watching some professional wrestling with my kids, and there are people that are like the kids of wrestlers that were, you know, famous like in the 80s and 90s, and now they're superstars. And that's what this feels like.
Yeah, I feel Nina is going better than Brandon Hans. That's the hot take.
Going better than Brandon Hans. And I feel like that they tried to do it with Cerie's son, Jared.
That would have been amazing. And then,
that would have been amazing. But with all due respect to Jared, I can't imagine that, you know, he would come in and you would feel like, oh my God, this is I can see that this is, you know, Cerie's kid is like playing amazingly. And that's what we have here.
I thought preseason, like I was saying, why would Sandra need to be here? I feel Nina could make it on to a US season, so Sandra doesn't need to like come for Nina, but maybe she wants to do Blood versus Water with her. I've since read, and I don't even remember where because I've consumed so much content about this week, but I've since read that apparently Nina was in contention for a season and then wasn't chosen. And I feel like that is just a major miss on US Survivor because the story is inbuilt. She also is great entertainment. She also is a great player. Like, who wouldn't want to see that? So I'm confused about why US Survivor wouldn't have cast her themselves. Like, I feel like we got a one up on them and they really failed in this regard.
Well, I mean, Sandra and I'm not sure, was it her other daughter? And I think she talked about this with talking with T-Bird, but I'm not sure which daughter she was talking about was in the casting mix with her for Blood versus Water. And I don't know, I guess they felt like that we got to get Laura Moret back in here.
Yeah, got to get Laura.
I mean,
Laura,
you get Sierra out of that. I mean, that's probably like the closest we have to this in US Survivor. But it wasn't like that Laura Moret, with all due respect, is a legend of the game.
Yeah, I mean, that's just a love-worn connection. This is a dynasty. It's different. This is like Nina needs to go have a daughter so that we can carry it on through generations. Like, that's what this has become. So I thought Nina did amazing.
Is there a prince you wanted? I mean, like, Shannon, not for anything, the last time we podcast, I mean, you kind of called the whole Xander and Liana thing, and I scoffed and I laughed.
Yes.
And then, like, we got a secret scene. It's like, well, you know, I like what I like Liana.
Yeah, I guess that's my superpower, is just knowing when teenagers are crushing on each other. Close to teenagers. So,
yeah.
I mean, yeah. Oh, so what you mean? Oh, so we're trying to set like
who's,
Nina up.
Like, who's her, yeah, who's her prince? Maybe it's Jared Fields.
Oh, wow. I mean, one person could dream. Oh my gosh. Imagine if that would just be, oh my God. Mm-hmm. Can you imagine? Mm-hmm. Can you imagine if Jared Fields and Nina Twine got married, had a kid, that kid went on Australian Survivor? My God. I hope I live to see that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Well, great. Let's do that. Let's set Nina up. But I mean, Jared Fields is a little younger, but Cerie's got a bunch of sons. I think she's got 3 sons. Take your pick, Nina. Let's do it like The Bachelor. Get them all in here.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Get The Bachelorette. Nina will choose. Amazing.
We're only like veering into like somewhat creepy territory.
Oh, it's very creepy. It's beyond somewhat creepy. But my gosh, we're like breeding survivor strategists that would just be out of this world. I don't even remember if Cerie and Sandra really get on, but they're gonna have to if they want to go to the wedding.
Maybe better now. I know at one point it wasn't great.
Okay, well, sounds like they should be making some calls. But Rob, I want to get to a little bit of housekeeping before we get into Nina's Move and Why I Was Amazing and everything else. So exit interviews, you'll notice, aren't on the feed because I don't have them at this time. They are going to let me know when the schedule starts. I don't know what that's about. Some really like
in like an Andrew Savage sort of way of like, you said you'd let us know.
That's me with PR right now. I'm like, I'm literally little about it, but I don't know. Some part of my brain is like, is there like a redemption island? Like, why am I not hearing from people?
Interesting.
I don't know. I think I'm just a paranoid person, but Andy did do an exit on Talking Tribal with Haley, which we'll talk about. But unfortunately at this time, I've been told that they'll let me know when the schedule starts. So I'm hoping to get it in the future. And I really, really hope that schedule starts before Sandra goes, because imagine if I missed out on it, I'd never recover. And then I wouldn't be able to ask her to set up Nina with one of Cerie's sons. So it's very important that we get to the exit with Sandra. But I want to talk about just some other stuff. So the ratings, I think, is really interesting. I feel like I just want to like champion the show, just and everyone's been so great about it and tweeting and it was trending, but it is against Married at First Sight, which is like the highest rated show in Australia for some reason. It's just like a religion here. And this is actually the first time it's been in the slot in February against Married at First Sight as not an all-star season, which I think gave it a bit of a bump. So I don't know if the ratings have been amazing, but I think the streaming numbers have been good. But I just feel like really wanted to do well. Yeah, but I think more broadly, should we get into the actual dynamics of the week, Rob?
Please. I would love to.
All right. Well, I mean, we should start with water because I feel like we got really a lot from water.
I'm
very upset.
So ridiculous that we're still going with the blood in the water tribes.
Well, we're not. I'm devastated about this, that Jonathan immediately, and it seems like all the players dropped water, which comes up like epic, blood comes up epic in the thing, for red and blue. I'll never, ever in my entire podcasting of this whole season be calling them red and blue. It's such a bastardized, like, who does that? Just drops it and now they're just colors. Like, that's not how tribes work.
Yeah, I mean, do you think that, is this JLP is like, I'm not doing it. I'm not calling them blood and water.
If it's on JLP, I'm actually kind of upset about it. I'm like pretty mad at JLP. I didn't want to say anything bad about JLP because I love JLP, but I tweeted that, call them by their given names, and I wanted to say, you coward. Like, what are you, just blood, a head in the shower. Like, red and blue, such a cop-out, and honestly, probably my biggest disappointment this week.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I loved you and Mike on the preview podcast that I was listening to, talking about the, you know, epic rivalry between blood and water.
Yeah, you know, I felt good that Mike and I...
Which is the more essential element of life.
Yeah. Well, luckily, we completely wrung absolutely everything out of that joke, because if we hadn't, you know, at least by the time they got to red and blue in the first minute or so of the season, we'd already kind of, we'd got it done.
My favorite thing that they do is that they have, like, you know, urns, like, filled with, like, blue paint or red paint. It's like, you know, the blood is a little bit, but, like, it's just, like, blue paint, water.
Yeah, but it looks epic. Like, I think it works. It works with the whole bigness of Australian Survivor, but then you make it so small with red and blue. And, you know, all of the merged tribe names and everything, and I just feel like the merged tribe name now will just be purple. Like, why? And I think the buff is purple, so I'm actually really, really terrified that they'll just be the purple tribe. We had purple Kelly, we had purple players. Actually, that would actually be pretty fitting for Australian Survivor. It's like, most of you are purple, so, so you should be the purple tribe.
Yeah, at least.
Speaking of, I actually wanted to touch on the edit, because I always like to kind of check in with, like, what craziness Australian Survivor is doing. As an example, this is Dave's first three episode, Juicy Dave's first three episode edit. Zero confessionals, 12 confessionals. Like, that is unhinged. Like, we talk about it.
But Shannon, you were talking with Mike about, Dave, started calling himself Juicy Dave on Twitter. That he, right? What's his Twitter handle?
Official Juicy Dave.
The official
Juicy
Dave.
Because there are some non-official.
He did officially drop a Juicy Dave reference.
I know.
Blindside Juicy Dave has a good ring to it, don't you think?
I almost missed this because it was in the middle of, like, obviously him blowing up his whole game, but I was like, wait, the headline of this is that he just said Juicy Dave. And I really feel strongly that no one should refer to themselves in third person. No one should especially refer to themselves in third person with a nickname, and no one should especially refer to themselves in third person with a nickname that is Juicy Dave.
Yes. Well, you and Mike talked about it. The juice was loose at Tribal Council.
Juicy Dave might not be a good player. But also, really disappointingly, apparently Sandra said on an Instagram Live that it's just that Jesse started calling him Juicy Dave and it stuck. And I'm like, oh, that's boring. Like, can we get a better origin story for Juicy Dave, which is definitely his villain name, right?
But why? But why did he get stuck calling Juicy Dave?
That's true. So Jesse just started calling him that, but it was because he, I can't even think of, like, what a possible explanation of that would be. It was because he was talking about juice a lot. It was because he's half man, half juice.
Is he on a juice diet? Yeah.
Yeah. It's because he just really wanted a lot of juice. Mm-hmm. I don't know, but I don't think that he should have been the one to just casually drop it. Cause imagine how confused everyone who hasn't been talking about Juicy Dave for a whole week would be.
But Shannon, because I heard about Juicy Dave before I knew who David was on Survivor, and then what a surprise when the man, the father who that I'm watching the episode, so Brianna has a dad? This guy is Brianna's dad, and then, like, it's like, wait, there's no other Dave. This is Juicy Dave.
That's Juicy Dave. Yeah, that's
the antithesis of what I would imagine Juicy Dave would be.
But that's why it's funny. If he was just, like, this larger-than-life person, then that would be the most medium thing about him. But the fact that he does seem so regular.
Like Dave Cruiser, I could see as a juicy Dave.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of Dave Ball.
Mm-hmm. Like pretty much total big juicy Dave energy.
Even Dave Janet, like this Dave is the least juicy of the Daves. It has to be said. But I'm actually enjoying him by accident. Like, I think he might be Alcara this season, considering he's already screwed up a vote for like no reason. Like, not what I mean for himself. Like, really, he just put himself under the firing line. And I saw some other stuff done quite poorly. I mean, that whole interaction with Khan that we'll talk about was just handled just not well. Probably on both sides, such a negative interaction between them. But yeah, so basically, I think that, did you feel that you got to know more people? Because I thought that with the blood versus water theme, we'd get a more even edit. I think that was true of the first episode. 19 people got confessionals, which Jonathan Gray said was the most even since 2017. Mm-hmm. And then the second episode, only 9 people spoke, and the third episode was 8. So it's kind of moving down from that. We have 4 people without a confessional and 4 with just one. But I do feel like, you know, you got a sense of a lot of people.
Let me see. So let me just go through the 12 teams, and I'll give you from my sort of like somewhat like more casual perspective of who I got a sense of and who I didn't. Mm-hmm. You know, Alex and Jay, no idea who either of these people are.
Alex was the one who was injured. I feel like.
Oh, Alex got injured. Okay.
Doesn't have a confessional, which his name is Jay Bruno. And I just want to work in.
Did
and
he get
we
better,
don't talk
Alex?
About Jay Bruno. Joke there. Alex, I don't know, he seems fine. Like, yeah. Alex's tweet back might be all right. Like, I feel like he's going okay. Like, I don't know. We haven't heard about it in a couple of nights.
Okay. Amy, I don't know her. King Khan, yes.
Yeah, okay.
This we know.
Yeah.
We know all about the King Khan. Okay. Amy and Kate, it was nice while it lasted. And I mean, Kate, yeah. I mean, really gotten almost nothing. Very sad for Kate.
Yeah. Kate really suffered, I think, for Andy's reputation.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the crazy thing, Rob, is that you were here in 2019 when Andy left. You were my guest.
Yes.
When Dave also had an idol. Andy's prophesized Dave has an idol that ended up idling out his sister. I love Survivor culture. Like, and I love Blood versus Full Water circle. Because of that. That's like the Anderson twins and then Nat ends up being first boot and getting to the end herself and kind of like the twin prophecy. Like, this is the Dave has an idol prophecy is
Nadia
one of my favorite Andy. Circular moments ever, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Ben and Shay, we got to know Shay. Ben, we saw him talk a little bit in the water.
Ben saved Sandra. Dave saved Sandra by accident, but Ben was vouching for Sandra. Ben is an icon.
Yeah.
Okay.
Chrissy, mark it down. That's my winner pick.
Okay. That's the George.
That's the George. Yeah. How many confessionals did she have? 490 this week?
I think she only had like 17, which is, I mean, she's leading the charts, which is cool. A lot of women up in the charts, which is really fun. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And Croc didn't have that much to do, but you forget Croc.
Yeah, he's there. His name is Croc. You remember Croc.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I really want to know more about the connective person between Chrissy and Croc. There must be a character.
It's Croc's wife.
Yeah.
It's Chrissy's sister. Mean, yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Interesting. Well, maybe all that right. person's just really boring because there's too much personality in the room.
Maybe. Okay. Yeah. David and Juicy Dave and Brianna. Okay. Yeah. Got to know them. Jesse and Jordy, we got to know a sense of them, right?
Jordy only had one confessional. I was shocked in that. I felt like Jordy had more of a presence than one confessional.
But I got that he's like he was like the super fan.
Was he? Jesse was a super fan.
Oh, Jesse's a super fan?
Well,
okay.
Jordy was wearing overalls on a slide, which was dumb.
You know, I'm looking at a picture and they're labeled wrong. Like, the names are not in the order that I'm looking at the picture on this website, which is a very bad job by this website.
Extremely bad.
Very bad job.
Yeah. And also their names are both with J. Why are parents like that? Come on, help us out for Blood versus Water. Please don't name your kids with the same consonant at the beginning.
Apparently there is a Jordan and Josh and they are cousins.
So
if you say so.
Yeah, there's a lot of beefy J starting men and 4 of them have 1 or fewer confessionals. So that's what's becoming a bit confusing. Yeah.
Yeah. KJ and Sophie.
Yeah.
Okay.
You know, Sophie.
I've seen them. They both wear glasses, right?
Yeah, KJ only got one confessional. Sophie, I think, has got quite a bit of. She had like a whole intro package. She's an influencer, etc., etc.
Yes, and you've seen a lot of Sophie.
Yeah, I have. I don't know how this is happening to. I don't know how my secret shame.
Yes,
podcast fodder at this point.
Mark and Sam. Yeah, we know them.
Yeah.
Mel and Michelle are apparently there.
Those four twins both have zero confessionals. They both got purple together as twins. It's so sad. So sad. Someone will be like, which tribe is that person on? It's like, no, it's two people.
Yeah. Mel and Michelle bringing big Lulu and Lala energy to Australian Survivor.
Yeah, just with none of the screen time.
Yeah. And then Sandra and Nina. Okay. So,
yeah, so pretty good. Pretty good.
Pretty good.
She's pretty much just the
cousins. Pairs help. Pairs do help with like, because there's a lot of like, at this point, there'd probably be like 12 purple people and we have nothing to connect them to anybody else. It's like, okay, at least we know their other partner.
Exactly. Like even some of the people who didn't get as much screen time, like KJ or Jordy, like you know them through, I feel Jordy is really part of the dynamics, but you know them through their loved one. And it's really just like the cousins who I don't think most people at this point could pick out of a lineup. And the twins, which is unfortunate as well. So I think actually that's pretty well done. And actually, the second episode, only one man had a confessional. So yeah, really changing the gender dynamics for Australian Survivor, which is cool in terms of screen time. All right, well, let's get into the strategy of it, because we spoke about Nina, but I really want to dive deep into why she was so good and why I felt the Princess Dave's Princess title was like well-deserved. What did you really like about what Nina was doing here?
Well, she was going after Andy just based off of like, okay, who do I not trust? That was the guy who that she felt like. And again, she seemed like that she had watched Australian Survivor. She felt like, you know, Sandra does not like, you know, like these type like snaky people. She doesn't really want them around. And so I think that she just had really good instincts about it. I liked how she went about her business. Andy never saw it coming. She was very like a neat and clean about it. I liked how, like, even when she went to Mark, she made Mark feel like it was his idea. So I just felt like that she was coming across to me as like a really like seasoned player who, yes, her mom is Sandra, but I also feel like that she's underestimated.
Yeah, there was so much she was doing well. I mean, you say that she makes Mark think it's his idea. He actually puts that name out first. Now, I don't think that's bad on Mark. Like, Mark's clearly accurately reading her intentions and that dynamic. But the fact that she doesn't even have to say the name, like, I saw some people on Twitter saying, oh, she's already a threat. It'll come back to her. I'm like, how will it come back to her? Like, she told it to us first, but it's actually not something that she could necessarily claim. Like, what would Mark go to everyone and give her the credit for? He said it first. And I really loved, and I said this on Talking Tribal, but, like, it was the language used. And I watched it a couple of times, but every time I did, I was writing down more things she was saying. It was things like, I'm not against it. I'm leaning more this way. She would say, where's your head at right now? How do you feel about that? Oh, Mark and Jordy are doing that. So it was all very, very soft. Nothing was indefinite. It wasn't like an internal focus on I. It was very much, what do you want? This is what they want. It was such a soft approach. And there's no way that that's not considered. I mean, if that is innate, then she was born to play the game, let's be honest. But that to me it's a really considered and thoughtful way just to speak to people. So it was no surprise to me that she could kind of construct that blind side.
Yeah, it was just really well executed. And Andy is no slouch for him to be like a returning player. And Nina, you know, that yes, her mom is Sandra, but this is her first like rodeo on Survivor. And for her to be able to, you know, execute this so cleanly.
Yeah, it's not just that her mom is Sandra, and it's not just that the threat level of that, which that's a major point as well. But also she comes in as the American, like she's an outsider. Yeah. And like, you know, Haley spoke about this recently about connecting with people just kind of on anything you can find. So she would have connected with like a famous AFL player and Gavin Wanganeen on both being from Adelaide. Like Nina can't come in and do that. She can't say like, I mean, pretty much all of these people are from two different states. I think it's mostly Melbourne and Queensland. A lot of them can be like, hey, you know, this is some familiar thing. Whereas she has to come in and be like, oh, so is your KFC also Kentucky? Or like, do you go to Queensland Burgers? Like, she has to have those uncomfortable conversations before she can even be like, let's vote out Andy. So coming as an outsider, I thought was amazing. I love the reasoning for it. I thought it was worth the move, especially because I don't think there's any heat on her from it. But like, She can't go strength-based. It always comes back more unfairly on women. It's not something she can do as a daughter of the queen. For future swaps, she can't go down that road. Just, like, as a principle, I feel she can't go down that road. So she takes it back from that strength-based mentality, and she just doesn't feel good about Andy, which is her prerogative and who she wants to play the game with for weeks and weeks. So, I mean, I can't even fault the reasoning as well as the actual execution.
Not to mention, it seemed like, and again, we only get to see what the show's on TV. It seemed like that Andy just like set up shop in the water and like did not seem to be having the conversations with the rest of the players. And it didn't seem like that Nina was like very much included in the kind of operations that Andy was working on.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, we should talk about Andy. Like, he wasn't meaning to do that, I feel. I definitely, in terms of you say, we only see what they show us. They showed Andy yawning, death knell. Because, you know, Survivor hates sleep. If ever anyone is shown napping for 5 minutes or yawning, oh my God, when they showed him yawning, yes. Well, that's a tired, lazy play. Oh, that person's going home. So that really, if you ever see someone yawn on Survivor on screen, that person cannot win today.
Like, in fairness, I do feel like that we saw George snoring in the first week
and
last
did George
season.
Win? There you
he
go.
Didn't win, but he did. He had a pretty good run.
That was, you know, when you're at Final Tribal Council thinking, should George win? Think about how that time that he was asleep one time. He slept like a human. That's horrible, horrible thing to do. So
yes, winners don't sleep.
Never sleep. It's such a long-standing trope in Survivor winners. Ben, Tony, winners care enough to be up all night like a superhuman person who doesn't need sleep.
Have we ever seen a Survivor winner sleeping in a season?
This is a discussion we've, I'm sure, had before. I don't think so. But no, we definitely actually have had this. I think that the consensus then was that, like, maybe Tyson. But that's because Tyson's whole thing is, like, I'm going to be lazy and, like, and people won't know it, but I'm still pulling the strings. Like, that works for his brand. I do think for most people, if they show you yawning, my God, are you in just a world of trouble. So I feel unfortunate for Andy on that. I feel so bad for Andy. I just want to say it.
Yeah. I mean, Andy is exactly the type of player that I love to watch on Survivor, where I love to watch somebody who's like, okay, well, this is my, you know, next big plan that I'm going to try to pull off. And he's never going to be under the radar. And I think he's always going to be fun to have on our TV. And then to lose him in the first week, like, I definitely think it's a blow to the season.
Yeah. And I think as well, like, he loves Survivor so much. He loves this game like we all love this game, and it just keeps just like repeatedly kicking him in the nuts. And I just, my heart breaks for him. And actually, so he had a ex interview with Haley on Talking Tribal. So maybe he's not at Redemption Island, but he spoke about you like so much of that interview, Rob. Like, you were like the main character of that interview.
He did?
Yeah. You should go listen to it. It's on all podcast apps.
Yes. What context?
So Haley asked him kind of just about the experience, and he said that, like, you know, he's a big fan, and he went to America, and he went to a fan event, your fan event, and explained who you are and how much he loves you, and how you haven't gone back, and how, like, you may be a little scarred from your experience going All Stars, and how he said to you, you should go back and just assume you'll be first boot, and then anything above that is just a bonus, and then the experience, like, won't be a letdown for you. And he's like, I kind of took my own advice on that. But he spoke about it for, like, 5 minutes. He really set the scene. Like, you really were. I was like, oh, wow, this is so apt for my talk with Rob tomorrow.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Yes. Okay. Andy, if you need anything, like, I'm happy to talk it through.
Yeah. You've been there, right? Like, first tribal at a returning season.
Yeah, I mean, that in terms of, like, that experience, you know, you come back and, you know, I'm sure that, it just put myself in Andy's shoes, you come back and you feel like, okay, well, I've got to come back and win this time, you know, I'm not coming back to do worse.
Yeah.
And then to come back and then to have it taken from you so quickly, like, that is a bitter pill to swallow, where, you know, you have people like, you know, for, like, Jericho came back and then was like, and then gets, like, taken out. It's like, all right, well, I won. I got to win one time. But, like, it's like, okay, well, this was going to be my redemption.
I think what's hard for Andy is that it's not the same experience as you. I mean, you didn't win Amazon, but, like, you had as great a game as one could have without winning. Like, your reputation was stellar. Like, you can't, you know, you've been riding that Amazon reputation for, like, 20-something years.
For,
like,
so long. Exactly. For so long.
So you did fine with that. But Andy already, I feel, came out of champions and contenders to with a bit to prove. I think that it was maybe like a polarized reception to him coming back, but a lot of people seemed really keen, which was fun. And I think he maybe had that opportunity to do that. But it didn't work out for reasons we can talk about. I think his reputation was in a hard spot, but I feel like at least you can cling to Amazon when the All-Stars kind of night sweats come on. But like, I don't know that he has that, like, as a positive an experience as you, that he can be like, okay, well, that's like the positive thing that the game delivered to me.
Well, I mean, just to talk about this particular first episode, I mean, did Andy like misplay this poorly?
Yeah. I mean, I think it's a lot of reputation. Where did he go wrong? Well, he's throwing out names. Like, Sandra is, you know, will tell you, don't throw out names. Brianna later throws out names. Like, why should he come in there and be throwing out Alex? Also, reading the room so poorly, no one wants Alex to go. People freaking love that guy. Like, people are falling over themselves to keep Alex around. Like, how is he misreading the social situation so poorly?
I mean, I feel like that in that spot, you know, the guys threw his back out and they lost it and they lost the challenge.
But no one wanted to do that.
Yeah.
And his tweet back is all right now.
Mm-hmm.
No one, I guess.
But I don't think it was like that he was just like threw out like a random name or anything like that. Like, I feel like that there was like good reason. Maybe you should have considered other options. But, you know, it does seem like, you know, you have a guy who is like in traction. You know, that's a, you know, not a bad candidate, because then that the thing that tends to happen on Survivor is you could like have like a, you know, James Clement type situation. OK, let's keep him in the game. He'll be fine. And then all of a sudden tomorrow he gets medically evacuated and now you're down two people.
I see the logic for Alex 100%. Like, I see Andy's point, even though the tribe strength thing, people don't always love that. People have their own individual reasons not to go with that team mentality. And then they all kind of group up against that motion. I just think as much as that name makes sense, and I think that he was kind of, he said, I'm not going to take risks. Like, he was going with the standard thing. He wasn't manipulating people. Like, it was actually all in good faith. But why throw out any name? There are 12 people. There's no reason to stand out at all. He's taking a bit of a leadership role, and he comes in at the deficit of his own reputation. It was a hard spot to begin with. I think even Kate suffers from it on the other camp. But I just think, like, he leans into that. The way that Mark is kind of pulling back so hard so that people don't have that thought about him, he's doing the opposite. He's leaning into that kind of, like, playing really hard, throwing out names. And then it's like, well, look at Andy. Told you he was a strategist. He has to go. I just think he needed to be radically different, lean back so much. Right? Like, why be the one to throw out the name? It's just not necessary this early in a tribe of 12.
Yeah, it's hard. You know, I think we want to like have it both ways, because I feel like that, you know, a couple seasons ago when we came back and we were talking about the season that Dave came back on the Australian season, on All Stars. And then like Dave's like playing like really big on like day three or four. And I'm like, hey, whoa, this is way too much. What is he doing? He's got to have a lower profile. No way he's going to get to the end. And sometimes it works out and sometimes it doesn't.
Yeah, I mean, Dave can carry that better than most. Also, Dave apparently might have been saved by a swap. Like, it might have been too hard. You might have been right on that. But I think, like, with Andy, he spoke in that exit interview about having, like, Asperger's and not connecting as well with people, or maybe the way that he comes off to people kind of isn't read in the way that he intends with someone like Nina. And that makes the game obviously so difficult, because, you know, when you want to make those, like, not that the Alex move was it, but when you want to make those big moves early and come out hard, like, you need to carry it with those social connections. And Andy's saying, like, that's something he really, really struggles with, especially kind of early as people are getting to know him. So I get that that is really, really hard with that. I just think for me, like, just, Andy, if you go back again, and I'd like to see it, give him the third chance, but I just feel like don't say one person's name. Like, listen more than you talk.
Mm-hmm. Do you feel like that in a world where Sandra and Nina are not playing, okay? I mean, that if Nina is not on this tribe, does Andy survive the first vote?
Well, no one is vouching.
Or do they arrive at this, let's get out Andy on their own?
Mark seemed to, is the first thing. Like, when people are all going for Sandra because she's a big returning player threat in different ways, similar to kind of the issues that Andy had, she has people to vouch for her, and she's a bigger threat. And she's got Ben being like, no, and she's got someone who can tell her so she can do something about it. Like, I think for Andy, like, it's not just that Nina went for him and did it so well, which she did, but it's also just that, like, everyone else on the tribe, other than, like, seemingly Josh, who was Alex's friend who voted for Alex, and Alex, who seemingly wasn't even part of his own plan to save himself, everyone was okay with Andy going. And that, so that to me is like a communal issue.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a tough one. It was hard. And especially seeing Kate go later in the week and knowing that a lot of the reason to come back was in giving her that chance. And then like for it to go poorly for both of them and they both love the show. Like, I think that was just like a bit of a painful arc of the first week.
Yeah. But blood versus water. It's brutal.
Yeah. And like Andy, he knew his faults. He came into the preseason stuff kind of knowing things he wanted to change. And I was excited for that evolution. And I think we saw parts of it. Like, he was doing this all in good faith. That's what makes it hard. Mm-hmm. Like, he was trying to keep the tribe strong. He was just trying to be the team player in a way more than everyone else was, who then took that like strategic manipulative tactic to take out the big threat rather than the injured person. So I think that there was so much awareness there, but it didn't translate, I guess, to being like on the so-called beach and then reading the room about the fact that people just really, really didn't want Alex to go. Like, credit to Alex that he just must be like crazy likable.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Was this the right move for Mark? Because I feel like that Mark, I feel like wants to play like a more passive game, and he wants like, even though like I think people like look to him to be like in a leadership role, like I feel like that he tries as hard as he can not to do it. I think he's lucky that he has King Khan around to now inherit that like the initial like leadership role that I think he was hoping that Andy would fill. And he's lucky in that there's Khan to sort of like now push that onto.
Yeah, I mean, Andy would have been a shield for Mark. That's something to consider. But I think the fact that he and a primary ally, Nina, can come to that conclusion on their own kind of speaks to just like how intuitive that move was. And it just like must have been something that doesn't translate maybe as well on TV. And the fact that they just weren't vibing with him. And it really is so much about connections when you're staring down the barrel of like 47 days. It's just like, who do you work with and not? Although Andy seemed like keen to work with that group and was like talking to them about the plan and splitting the vote. So I guess they just on a personal level just like weren't vibing with him. And that's just the way that they went with it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. What did you think of Mark this week? Because I feel like he did really well.
I mean, I love Mark. I don't know if Mark is a great player. Like, really? I just like I don't know. I don't know. And again, my knowledge from Australian Survivor 2017 is a little bit fuzzy. From what I recall, I feel like that some of the other guys were like running circles around him. But I think he's a very likable guy.
Like, in hindsight, it was Henry, and like, I mean, it was some big players. Like,
mm-hmm. Yeah. So I feel like that him and Sam need to team up. Like, I don't have a ton of faith in Mark solo.
Really? I feel like that's so unfair. Like, I didn't.
I love his jacket, though. What a great jacket.
That's such damning with faint praise. I don't know about that guy, but man, what a jacket. You know, anyone can buy that jacket.
I think he's super likable. I just don't know necessarily, like, if he has, like, everything I'm looking for in a Survivor player.
I was so impressed with him this week. Like, surprisingly so. I didn't necessarily think that he would come out like that. But, I mean, we kind of got the duality of him doing the opposite of Andy. Like, he could go in and be the leader. He does have the experience. But in the challenges, he's obviously essential. But then socially, he's hanging back. He says he wants to, like, connect with everyone individually. Like, he's not putting himself out in front. He's the one who kind of gives us the lay of the land of who everyone is. So he's, like, sizing people up. I thought it was great. His connection with Nina, which I think might have, like, a father-daughter kind of aspect, or, like, he has a military background. Nina is a military child. Santa's husband is career military. So I really like that bond between them. I think that could be, like, a powerful duo. And then on the other side, Sam just voted for Sandra. So I think that, you know, there's maybe a bit of an interesting duality happening between those pairs of the returnees left.
I just feel like that Mark is such a likable guy, but I think he's just a little passive in terms of like how I want to see somebody playing the game. But I think that Sam makes up for that. So I love the tandem of them together.
Yeah.
And so like, I'd love to see them link up, because I think that she's a little bit more of like the mastermind in terms of like that duo. And so it's like, it would be very fun to see them be able to like make it to the merge together. So, I mean, I think Mark is fine. I just don't think that he is like doing anything that I think is like exceptional.
I do agree. I believe in that relationship. Like, Mark may wear the jacket, but like Sam wears the pants in that relationship. Like, I could see her like kind of being like the alpha in that relationship. But I like that for Mark, because Mark is such a big physical presence. He's always going to draw attention to himself. So to have that passive gameplay, and it's early. Australian Survivor, we're on what, day, I don't know, it feels like day 50.
Six.
You know, yeah, you've done 3 US seasons by now. But it's so early. You don't need to like really get yourself out in front. He's central socially. People like him. People want to work with him. And it is passive. Let it be passive when you're that physical a presence. I mean, you have to be able to ramp it up when you need it. But right now, not like sticking himself out more than he just kind of aesthetically is. I think that's really good.
He's doing well. He's doing well. He could pick up some chizzy points.
He's gonna. I'm not gonna. Yeah. So I thought that was really good from him. In terms of the rest of water, never blue, never. But for the rest of water, I feel like for both tribes, what we're getting week one, and strategically for me, it's a little bit hard to kind of break it down as much because it's not factions for me. It's kind of these like big homogenous groups of these like central players, these like big players that are taking out like the problem people. I feel like we were kind of seeing that on both sides. So I've tried to kind of work out the factions, but it's a tricky one. I don't know that we've kind of seen like a real breakdown in that way, but I think names we kept hearing were definitely Mark. Geordie was a name we kept hearing. Khan was all up in things. Then there was like some tangential stuff with like KJ seemed around. Mel, who got no confessional, seemed around. Obviously Nina's doing a lot. Josh kind of in there as well. So I think we can kind of see these clear outsiders, which we can talk about as well. Like Chrissy. Let's talk about Chrissy. Is Chrissy an outsider? That's like my biggest question of the week.
Boy, I mean, Chrissy looked like that she was in a bad spot going into like the first tribal council, but then all of a sudden, then she was like not in a bad spot by the second tribal council. And I didn't really know exactly. Like, I felt like that the first episode painted it where Chrissy was in trouble. Yeah. Shay and Brianna, I felt like, were in the group. And then after the whole like Adam Klein idol situation.
How dare you? Palesa idol. Adam got it from Palesa. Adam's not taking the name, not from Palesa. Like the trajectory is Palesa got it on the podium. Adam thought he got it on the podium. And then they wrestled at the podium. It's the Palesa idol.
But sure, the Palesa idol. But I do feel like that this here in this season, I think this is more, and correct me if I'm wrong, but I think that this is like we are going to like what I think that they what they felt like what they would have loved to have had happen if this was real in the U.S. Survivor, to have somebody tackle another person on the way to the podium. Like, I feel like that this creative was sort of based off of the idea of, could we get two survivors to wrestle at Tribal Council?
100%. Well, what you missed last season was JLP right before challenge is about to say go. He's like, oh, by the way, there's an idol over there in the middle of, I think, an immunity challenge even. Go. And then George ran for it. A couple of people ran for it. I think Gerald ran for it. Haley ran for it, ended up getting it. So it was kind of fun to talk about on Talking Tribal because they're like, idol wrestles. I'm like, well, these two people on my left were already wrestling with each other. I think they enjoyed that moment, that very public, like, are you willing to put yourself out there and like literally fight for it? So I agree that all of this was around the wrestle. But Rob, did you know something that they didn't tell us about this idol? And I really want to talk about this because it's been a huge talking point online, was that this idol expired at the first tribal council.
Oh.
Yeah. And you wouldn't know that because you're watching it in your own time and it was not transparent, I think actively so. It came out on their Instagram page and I really, really don't like that wasn't told to us because I feel lied to as a viewer because it changes all the dynamics of everything everyone did because this expired that night.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so some things that are different when that is the case. Brianna, oh, is she cleverly flushing the idol by throwing out Chrissy? Nope, Chrissy has to play the idol. She's just like bafflingly calling out Chrissy, who is autoimmune tonight. Terrible move. Like, Chrissy, is Chrissy like
good? Do we want to go with autoimmune?
Yeah. Yeah. What do I have in my notes? Autosafe. There you go.
Autosafe. Yeah. I feel like we're getting a little like COVID adjacent. Yeah, we're talking about autoimmune. Yeah.
I mean, this move from Brianna, I think that gets just like very, very questionable when people, I think, were trying to give us some credit for flushing. In fact, the edit then previously on, you know, Brianna flushed the idol. Like, what? No, don't flush anything. Like, it expired tonight. I really don't like being lied to by the show. It's Chrissy burning a public idol like to be safe, which would be kind of smart, or is she too paranoid playing an idol when she's in on the Andy vote? Like, no, she has to play it tonight. Like, none of that is real. I don't enjoy that. Then also the question of, should you even go for this idol? I think even if it didn't expire tonight, probably not. Do people want to be like wrestling at a podium for an idol, putting a target on their back? I think it's an interesting debate, but I'm not so sure. But if it expires tonight, I mean, we can talk about it for Chrissy, but I think like for Shay and Brianna, like, why are you doing this? Like, Andy's going home. Your names aren't there. Like, why?
Like, unless you think that maybe Chrissy could play it for Andy.
Chrissy, like, what? Like, you're all part of this blind side. I do think for Chrissy, Chrissy finds a clue publicly, kind of might as well. Chrissy probably does defensively need to get it. I think Shay and Brianna might have played it for Andy. I think they were that keen on getting Chrissy out. So I think defensively for her, I definitely do understand
that. Can you remind me why?
Why they hate each other?
Yeah.
I don't know where that started. Like, they just seem to really dislike each other, which I think for both Chrissy and Brianna. I mean, Brianna goes home. Even though Chrissy wins that battle, not like the best thing. They're like, and Brianna's like throwing Chrissy under the bus at that tribal council again when Chrissy is autoimmune. Like, do you want to have like such an antagonistic relationship in the first 4 days? My strategic opinion, probably not.
Probably not.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But okay, other than the fact that it expired, which I think does take away, and it's also just like worst game design. Anyway, like it makes it an entertainingly bad move to go for it, but I think like makes the debate about whether you should a lot less fun. But other than that, did you enjoy this as a twist?
Yeah, I think that this was very fun.
Yeah, I mean, they have a first episode twist now every season. George had, he sent six people away. That was really bad. The season before that was the Henry out of the, so good. That's like one of my favorite twists ever. So this kind of like fell somewhere in the middle for me. But yeah, I mean, at least we got out of a tribal council without half of the people getting sent back to camp. So small wins for sure.
Yeah. I mean, do you think that we are at the point now where if we have a tribal council and there's any sort of like, you know, decorative like prop in the set, should the players even sit down?
Yeah.
Like, should you like gotta come in and like case the joint?
Yeah.
Like, this is like a dangerous precedent, right?
Well, it's funny that you're saying that. I don't know if you're joking, but that actually is why Jeff Probst has said that he won't have idols at tribal council, because people will just start taking apart the set. Well, it's like, well, the way to solve that is just say that pretty much just exactly like idols and challenges, they're only activated by a clue. You have to find the clue and then you can do it at tribal council, which is what happened. And I think that that's just like an easy way to have idols at tribal council. And I just wish someone would bring that up to Jeff so he could understand it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love the two clues at the beach. That was, I think, really novel and really fun. And they should do that when they put like idols and challenges and stuff. Like, why not have people racing to something? Why not make it a competition?
Now, I'm not sure when they found the clues. Did both tribes have those clues?
Yeah.
And then we just didn't see the blood tribe, whoever got it.
So Sophie said on Twitter that her and Amy got it. And this is actually, and I didn't mean to come on here and complain so much, but like just some things in this, like for me, so last season, George found it, right? What we didn't see was that Simon found it on Braun Beach. And we never saw that because the editors are like, well, he'll never play it. It's not relevant. Except it is relevant. Like that, you know, make it a character focus. Oh, that person has found something. It doesn't have to play out. Or, you know, for Simon, that really started, I think, some dynamics that were so negative between him and Shannon. Like, that's something we need to see. Also, in the challenge, I was like, oh, I wonder who will win. The tribe who we saw find the clues only valuable at this tribal council, or the tribe that we didn't.
See, so, but you're so next level.
No, it spoiled a lot of people. Like, how dumb do they think we are? Like, I know it's not a lot of the audience, but I would really enjoy for the future if they would just show everyone finding all the clues that they find so that we don't have to be, like, spoiled, like, basically, like, the first episode of every season, because they're just like, well, this isn't relevant because it doesn't play out. Like, not everything has to have a resolution to be relevant to the narrative.
Mm-hmm.
You weren't spoiled by that?
I wasn't. Yeah. You know, I think that you are, you know, like maybe if this type of thing happened in US Survivor and I was like a little bit more tapped in, I think I would see it. I think it's a very astute observation on your part. It did not occur to me in the real time.
Well, it didn't occur to me when it happened with George. But I think that at this point with Simon having that postseason press and saying he found the Braun clue last time, or the Braun advantage, you know, I said, like, who found it on blood? Like, this will consume me. And then Sophie said that it was her and Amy. So that was another, I think, just a bit of a miss. But otherwise, I felt that this twist kind of landed somewhere in the middle. And I thought Chrissy probably played it best. I mean, at least she got it. Where was she going? But I actually had a head start and like not get the actual idol. It was at the front of the podium. Like, she ran behind.
She missed it.
So confused about what happened with that. a debate around Chrissy. I want your take on Chrissy in general. She is the George. She is a huge, huge character. Where do you fall on Chrissy as a player and a character?
It's hard because I feel like I don't have that much of a sense of her as a player. I think I have a lot of sense of her as a mm-hmm. character.
Yeah. I mean, well, in terms of the character, like, how do you feel about it? Because I've seen debate online. She's never seen the show. She's calling it Tribunal. She doesn't know what's going on. Like, are you enjoying this?
I mean, I'm enjoying her. I mean, I think she's clearly good television and we're being fed a lot of her confessionals. Yeah. You know, I feel like that George's character, I think definitely like informed his gameplay. I think by like getting his character, you got a lot out of like what his gameplay was going to be like. Whereas Chrissy, like, I think that this is a fun character, certainly like a fish out of water, but I don't really get a sense of like what her game is.
Yeah, I think that's true. I'm confused about where she sits as a player because it's like she says she has a group.
But I feel like she's going far.
I know, right? I said that on Talking Tribal. I was like, I don't know why, but I feel like she's long for the game. Like, it might be because she has so many confessionals. She's like a huge part of the advertising.
Mm-hmm.
But then like, so Mark will talk about, throws a vote on her at the Brianna boot.
Right.
And Mark is like someone she stated is in her group. So things like that kind of have me questioning the positioning. Like, is she really in if power players like Mark are splitting votes on her? She's not probably completely in, but they've just been like bigger fish to fry. Obviously, Brianna, Andy, there might be like other, Khan might end up like kind of taking the, being the next problem person. Everyone's like aware of his threat level. But I don't know that she's like so well insulated.
I think that she just might have the thing where it's like, okay, well, nobody's going to be mad at me if we just put a vote on, like, what happens if this person plays an idol? Like, we heard like where even like Mark's wife, Sam, at the third tribal council says, well, just in case
that was fun.
Dave plays an idol and Kate plays an idol, let me also put one vote on Sandra.
That was really fun for me. The fact that Mark and Sam both did the one vote split, assuming that's what Mark did, and they're like not communicating that to each other, but they're in sync like that. I'm like, oh, that
must be
true
something
love.
That they've talked about of like sort of like a tribal council, like, you know, somebody, like, even if one person has an idol, if another person has an idol, like, you don't want to go home that way. So just put a vote on another person.
Yeah. Cause I'm trying to work out why Mark did that. That's been a big question. And I think, well, if it's a Sam thing, then what Mark's doing is like, hey, say Shay and Brianna are still connected. Shay plays an idol for Brianna, and then they vote for someone else, but that person had an idol, and they play it because an idol train has been triggered. Then Chrissy is the one vote. That would be what Sam has done. Some other options on that, because people have been asking, like, why would Mark have done this? Because you'd think, so if Brianna's going to be saved by an idol, it has to be Shay's idol. Like, we've seen Shay find the idol. But if Shay and Brianna are working together, they're voting together, they're two votes, Mark's one vote isn't going to help. So you have to assume that maybe he thinks that Shay is with them. But this was an interesting point that my brother made, which is that Brianna could have an idol from Juicy Dave. Like, you always have to think there could be another idol at your camp, because it just takes one loved one passing an idol to someone in a challenge, for example. That means, oh, you have even more idols than you think Australian Survivor would deliver. So if it's just Brianna who has an idol, all the votes are on her, she's like, hey, I'm not even going for Chrissy, I'm just going to take out a power player, then you've protected against that. Say she does vote for Mark, I'm just, you know, going for someone who's a kind of high up in the hierarchy, then there's a vote on Chrissy. I think that could be an option. There's also, I think, feel like the fact that maybe he just, like, said he wouldn't put her name down. Like, like, would Mark do that? Does he seem like the kind of person to you who would care about that kind of thing? Like, we've seen him talking to Brianna, like, kind of comforting her about, like, how hard she's played. Do you think that maybe that it could just be, like, on that personal level that he's, like, saying to Brianna, I just won't write your name down, and he just follows through on that?
Yeah, I mean, it's not outside of the realm of possibility. I mean, it's just all speculation on our part.
But that's this whole podcast, Rob.
Yeah, I guess the answer is it's my possible. I don't know.
You pay me to do like, that.
I didn't see anything to support that, but it's not like out of the realm of possibility.
It was just, I think, confusing for a lot of people because it was never discussed. It was then shown to us. And to me, it has to be purposeful. I'm sure it made sense to Mark. I don't think he's just voting wrong. Like, he's so well connected that I doubt so. Oh, Mark wasn't part of the plan. Like, there's no way that's true. So I think it's just trying to like try and sense some intention in that. A lot of theories that I've seen have been, did he cast a vote for Chrissy to point the finger next time on Shay to say Shay didn't vote with us. And I just feel like that's very aggressive, like way more aggressive than we're saying.
Doesn't sound like Mark.
And why would he do, like, why would that be necessary? Like, that's just like so antagonistic for me for no reason. Like, I really don't buy that.
I mean, do you think it could just be as simple as that he didn't know, like, where the idol was going to go? He didn't know if it was going to be, you know, if Shay was going to play it on herself or if Shay was going to play it on Brianna. And so let me just put it on the person that I know isn't going to have an idol played on them.
Tonight. I think what was confusing about it was just that it was his one vote. Like, sure, if two people split on Chrissy, then you're like, oh, just in case, obviously, just in case Shay and Brianna are working together, then we need two votes to counter their two votes and the idol that Shay has. But I think just putting one vote, like if Shay is going to save Brianna, they have two votes. Your one vote has been an irrelevant split. So I think it's just been trying to work that out. Excited to get that in the postseason press, maybe, because I think it's just been
trying to get that. Will you do a Mark and Sam deep dive together?
That's so fun. Like, honestly, like, if they keep going in this direction, that would feel... like, that wouldn't feel fair. Like, they should get their own deep dives if they're going to keep playing.
They should get
like
their own deep dives. But I think as a couple, I think you will. That's a fun element, though, as a podcast.
I know, but that's going to be like hours and hours. Not that, like, you know, we haven't done that before. But man, if you get like two power players on different beaches having to both give their story, like two in one, like, I'll be there all day. Do people want to listen to? I would say, do people want to listen to a 5-hour deep dive? But I've done a 5-hour deep dive. Then they do
with so, one person. Yeah, it'd be 10-hour deep dive.
Exactly. Yeah, it's true. Oh my god, they really a marathon, which is what Fam and Mark are used to.
Yeah.
So I thought it was interesting. Okay, I need your thoughts on how do you feel about the fact that Chrissy knows nothing about the show? Because this has been highly debated, and I feel like my take on it is hot.
How much does Croc know?
Croc is a super fan.
Croc's a super fan.
Yeah, I mean, like, who? What is?
What about Croc's wife?
We know nothing of Croc's wife.
Hmm.
The super fan card did not get passed to his sister-in-law, obviously, because she doesn't know what's going on. And people are loving it because Chrissy is an icon. But I'm like a little annoyed that she knows nothing about the show. Do you join me on this?
I mean, I always think it's weird.
Right?
You go on a show, and it's like, well, I should really watch this show before I go on it. Like, I can't imagine, like, the show I would go beyond and then, like, not even if I'm on a podcast, right? I try to listen to a couple episodes before I come in.
Well, I join you on that. I mean, I've got like 3,500 words of notes for this podcast. Like, I shouldn't be putting in that much more prep than people going on the show. And, okay, I have to, like, obviously, Chrissy is an icon. She adopted her kids, clearly great person. Like, that's a beautiful story. She's super, super funny. Like, we love Chrissy as a character, obviously. But I just feel like when everyone's saying, oh, it's so fun that she knows nothing about the show, but you criticize Andrew last season, Sam Webb, for not doing, like, the obvious prep, then it's kind of hypocritical to not criticize Chrissy for the same thing. Just because you love her, you can still love her and be like, Chrissy, make better choices.
Right, right. I mean, maybe it's a little bit different, like, when a person is, like, a celebrity. Like, with the so we have Celebrity Big Brother going on right now.
Chrissy is not a celebrity, though.
Right, right, right. So I feel like that the Celebrity Big Brother is like, all right, this is just a thing I'm doing as
a
celebrity.
Yeah, we're lucky to have you.
A paycheck.
Yeah.
Right, right. I'm just going to do, this is, like, for my brand. But you think if that's not you fitting your description.
Okay, but here's the other thing.
I was just doing it as a favor for Croc.
I'll go, but
I'm not studying.
But okay, so she has three kids. I'm thinking, I don't have three kids. I don't know what it's like to not have that kind of time. But they were in quarantine for 2 weeks. You can watch at least a season of Australian Survivor. I'm not saying
you could try. You could start.
Yeah, you could start. You could get a couple of episodes in 2 weeks. Like, it's the quarantine for me. Why did you watch one episode in quarantine, Chrissy? It's killing me.
Look, the woman has 17 confessionals this week.
Yeah, well, yeah, she doesn't need to study up on how to get confessionals. It's innate. I appreciate that, but I also think, like, she should, I'm just concerned about how this is going to go for her. Like, I can't do the most minor of tasks without the most maximum of prep. And to go on Survivor, I just can't hang with that. Like, to go on Survivor and to not know what you're getting yourself in, you must be a brave person.
But look, there is, like, a lot of, like, well-documented, like, Survivor success stories of the person. Like, I mean, look at, like, the Noras of the world that, like,
Nora's
you know,
Survivor success story.
I think so. I mean, she's somebody who you would not say was like a Survivor super fan and somebody who, you know, goes to the final three in a season. You know, nobody would say that she has like great ideas about things by any stretch of the imagination. Okay. But there she is. So yeah. I do think that there is some, like, you see this on Survivor where like nobody fears Chrissy.
Yeah. I mean, Chrissy, you didn't study, but you could have a trajectory as good as Nora. And you don't even know that that's an insult. Because you don't watch the show. I don't know. I just think, like, she doesn't have to be a fan. I just want to qualify that. Like, fun to have recruits, fun to have people who are at different fandom levels, fun to watch someone out of their element for sure. I just think watch one season in quarantine, and I think that it's fine to say that. But let's talk a little bit about Che and Brianna, who were definitely focal people. Brianna also got tons of confessionals before she went home.
Yeah.
Thoughts on their gameplay through this week?
Well, I mean, it seems like that Brianna went really overboard with the fishing kit reward of that. Okay, well, I know there's a clue in here. I'm just gonna like go through it. I mean, they seem to have gotten like a taste of one idol, and now they got a little idol crazy.
Yeah, I mean, Brianna was caught trying to get and failing to get three idols in two episodes, that, you know, with the tackle box and then Shay's idol and then the podium idol. Like, none of that went well, and they were all so public.
She's a maximalist.
Yeah.
You don't know what that means.
It means that her dad is Juicy
She
Day.
Wants everything. Yeah. Dad is Juicy Day.
Yeah.
What is her occupation? She is a professional roller skater
and TV presenter. Yeah. It's not
and
just
TV
a hobby.
Presenter.
She's a,
yeah.
Yeah.
The intro package was like, hey, I roller skate and I'm like, don't mess with me. And it was just like, and I have a dad.
I roller skate. Don't
she
mess with me.
Juice.
I have a dad.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we really got it. They really shoehorned in everything we needed to know about Juicy Dave's heir apparent.
It's like, oh, I'm like, oh, apparently Brianna's dad is on this season.
And he was Juicy Dave all along. I love that.
He
that
was Juicy too. Dave.
Yeah. But like, because he talks about the transfer of a dream. Like, Juicy Dave might know as little as Chrissy, which might explain a lot. I don't know that he was watching anything in quarantine. Like, he's there literally definitely as a favorite to Brianna. Like, you talk about Chrissy, is she doing it? Like, there's no question that that's why Juicy Dave is there. And now she's gone. I'm surprised he doesn't just quit. Like, why? Like, I feel like he just came out there for her.
Well, it's the transfer of the dream. Now it's like, okay, well, now I have to bring this home for Brianna.
Yeah. And I don't want to call my shot too early, but I don't think that he will. I don't think.
Yeah. You think so? You think that's your professional Survivor expert opinion?
Well, I just think, like, okay, so I'm just picturing JLP reading the voice at Final Tribal Council. I just, like, the winner, Australian Survivor, Blood versus Water, Juicy Dave. I can't see it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I feel maybe. It's so unfortunate for everyone involved, because, like, they cast Brianna to be this, like, Twitter icon, Shawnee type, entertaining, cool roller skater girl, and then she brought her dad, and now Juicy Dave is pretty much most of the words I've said in the last week. Like, how did this happen?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, even from the preseason, David is more than happy to follow Brianna. He says, I've been vortexed into this dream, and I'm pumped.
That's why he has to become Juicy Dave.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I feel like there's a lot. I feel like we should get just a dramatic, you know, they do the dramatic promos. We get one for just Juicy Dave to Juice by Lizzo. It ain't my fault that I'm out here getting loose. Just like shots of Juicy Dave. Gotta blame it on the juice. Oh, it's great.
Shannon, one of my favorite things about the Survivor Global podcast feed is when you bring in different alternative soundtracks, promo songs.
I'm trying to work into every podcast. Was that one seamless?
Yeah, that was great.
It came to me on the moment. I love Juice by Lizzo. I'm going to be listening to it and thinking about Juicy Dave all weekend. Mm-hmm. Like, that's his soundtrack.
I mean, are there more Juice songs? Gin and Juice?
I feel like I recently saw a post that was like, when Juice sounds like Jews in songs, and they were... as a Jew, I found it. It was from someone Jewish. It's fine. There was
Juice
another,
World.
There's a Bruno Mars song with Juice in it. Oh, is it this dancing Juice? Hey, Juicy Dave, I think I want to marry you. It kind of went off topic. I don't think that one worked. Might have to go back to Lizzo with that. Sometimes you strike gold on the first one. You shouldn't keep going. But that's the promo for Juicy Day. So make it happen, social media team, because yeah. I'd love to see it.
I mean, the best songs with juice in the title. We've got, I think we covered them all.
Yeah, it's Juice by Lizzo. It's fine. Because you say sometimes you strike gold, you shouldn't keep going. Just, you know, sometimes you want to just stop it on the first one. But for Brianna, who is literally the reason we have Juicy Dave, and it's 100% of the reason, not that great. Not a great week for Brianna. Like, obviously she goes home, but I mean, you think Andy didn't do a lot wrong. Do you feel like Brianna has something to say in that? Like, did she do something wrong?
Yeah, I mean, like, I thought she had like a much bigger faux pas than Andy had between like going after the idol in front of everybody. Also, multiple times doing that. So I think that was, you know, not necessarily great.
No, not the best. I mean, she as well throwing out names, throwing out autoimmune Chrissy and the tribal council, making an enemy.
Khan says Brianna is intense.
Yeah. I mean, I did find that funny. She's just in confessional talking about how she's not chill and like yelling it. So I was like, pretty well described. Like, I can't overstate that there are 12 people in these starting tribes. It should be easy to blend in. Like, you do not need to stand out early. Like, if you are standing out, you're doing something wrong.
Certainly. Yeah. Were you at all fooled in the edit on episode 2 when Shay has the idol?
Yes.
And is thinking of like, well, I could play it for Brianna, or I could, you know, or I could like play it safe.
Yeah. I thought she shouldn't play it. Yes. And I think
did you think she would at any point?
I don't know. People always ask me this. I'm like, not going to like tracking my thought process as I watch. I think that I thought she'd let it go. I'm very much looking at like, Shay, just let it die. Like, just let it go. Because like, how did you feel about this? Because some people came to Twitter to ask me, because I often say you want to choose an ally over an idol. But in this case, I think, no, you don't want to do that. Not with Brianna.
I felt like that Shay had like enough like plausible deniability to be able to like, I feel like if they go to the next tribal council, I don't think that Shay is necessarily going to be the next person voted out. So I felt like that Shay was like smart enough to see, okay, bro, I'm not going to go down with the ship here. Let me go ahead and I'll keep my idol. Let's see what happens next time.
Yeah.
Let me give it a shot without Brianna.
Yeah. I mean, Brianna at this point is drawing a lot of attention to them as a pair. She's really kind of like a weight. Kind of dragging, I think, both of them down. And Shay seems to have relationships. Like, she has other options. It's day 4, like, cut the loss, let's rally. Ben also is probably creating options. Like, you don't need to tie yourself to this person who's, like, clearly not long for the game. Go out of your way to save them. Annoy everyone to, like, individually save this person. Use an idol to do it. Like, I think at that point, you've pretty much just lost the game for yourself. Like, you know, that's not a way to integrate. That's a way, again, to stand out in a tribe of 12 and just irritate people to the point that you've alienated yourself from like 9 other people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, she's got her partner on the other side.
Yeah. Ben who saved Sandra. Can you please give more respect to Ben? He was helping Sandra. We love Ben.
Yeah. He helps. I mean, Sandra, like, I don't want to not give Sandra her credit. I mean, Sandra like correctly identifies like, okay, I'm going to buddy up to the alpha males and they keep me around because, they look at me as a number. So she gets it. She knows what she's doing. And she knew, you know, Ben was like, I feel more comfortable with keeping her around. So good job, by Sandra, like, knowing all that, and good job by Ben to, keep around Sandra.
I feel like I always think about Sandra as fighting with the alpha males, which she does, but then she does align with the alpha males in ways I've never really considered as much. Like, obviously Boston Rob Rupert is an alpha male.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. A provider, certainly. Malcolm. Yep.
Tony.
Yep.
The rival turned ally. Yeah. She has one per season as well, but then Boston Rob also was a rival for her. A lot of her rival, like, wow, you don't want to get on Sandra's bad side.
That was like, you definitely don't want to get on Sandra's bad side.
I don't want to.
But I mean, the rivalry with Boston Rob was about other like extenuating circumstances where she felt like that he was, not telling her the truth. But in terms of like, you put her into a season with like people she hasn't met before, she's going to sort of like buddy up to the, you know, big, strong guys.
No, but like, what about Tony and in Game Changes or Russell?
She was open to working with Tony until she found him laying in the spy bunker.
I hate that.
Remember?
I hate that happened. No, I've actually repressed. That was the worst. That was that one ad break where you thought, then they did work together, and then Tony won another season. You know what? I think I've made my peace with what happened in Game Changes.
Sandra, like, if we were necessarily like fact checking, I think we're just giving Sandra a lot of liberty. She said a lot of things in these episodes that she was like, she said, I've gone up against the biggest villains in Survivor history and I beat them every single time,
except the two times you lost.
you know,
she said that
it's apocryphal. Yeah,
anyone who's written her name down has never won. Sarah Lucina Erasia. Like, because she's won two of the time.
Listen. It's when, you know, Sandra, like, that her followers and her supporters, like, that we take her seriously, but not literally.
Okay, yeah, exactly. And also, Sarah Lucina, did Game Changers count? That's not Sarah Lucina Erasia, that's Game Changers Erasia.
Is Game Changers canon? That's a great question.
Yeah, I think not. I think officially not now. Sandra has made that clear.
Yeah, with Sandra, it's more vibes than you know, fact.
Yeah. Oh, though I did fact check her on Twitter. Do you think that I shouldn't have?
I mean.
Well, I was like, yes, queen, erase Sarah Lucina. I was very in support of it, but I was just like, it's not true, but it's fine. I'm happy to go with your reality, but let's just call it what it is.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a, you know, it's more of like, you know, we'll go with it. Not everybody from Australia is going to be fact. Look, is US Survivor canon in Australia?
Yes.
Okay.
We're all one world, Rob. Beautiful.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
World's getting smaller. Right. No, but I thought, you know, thankful for Ben for helping Sandra out. And Shay, who was my winner pick, I thought up and down week. You know, that standing out in like 12 people don't, but then it's like leading a yoga class, which is for some reason, is it like so much yoga on Australian Survivor? Just
I
like
love yoga.
A lot of yoga.
Even when Henry's not here.
This is why I couldn't go on Survivor. I just don't want to do yoga. I don't want to go to yoga class. That's one of the main reasons that, yeah. I mean, yeah, definitely. I feel like Mark probably, he was on that tribe. Yeah, Mark is like, why every time is yoga such a big part of my journey? Are you actually even a yoga instructor? I've heard, you know, I've seen this film before.
I've seen it both ways.
Exactly. Yeah. But no, I really liked, obviously, her decision to let Brianna go. I also was cheering when the votes came out, because obviously there were two votes for Chrissy, and you would think, okay, so that was Brianna. Like, she didn't save her, but she kind of threw her a bone in not voting for her. But she did. She, like, went all out and voted for her. And I thought that was great. Like, I spoke about it with Dr. Amanda Rabinowitz on the Psychological Principles of the Game podcast that we did. Foot in the door strategy. Get in there. You're with Khan. Like, cast that vote and just never look back. As Brianna is, like, drowning behind you, just absolutely keep swimming.
Yeah, who cares?
She's gone now. It's done.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. Brianna is still going to be friends with you after the season. She doesn't know anybody else except for Juicy Dave.
Yeah, exactly. So I thought that this was really good. And we had a lot of questions as well, which is Shay finds an idol in a tree. I love that mechanism, by the way, with the stick.
Yeah, this was wild.
Yeah. What about it? Just that they kind of gave it to her?
So it's like she finds like this pole. She's like, what is this? Oh, throw this back. But it's like the pole has blue paint on it. And it's like, she starts looking up.
Oh, I think any pole that you find, someone should raise an eyebrow at. But yeah.
Yeah, right.
It had water paint, Rob. Please, be on the right side of history, not blue paint.
Sorry, blue water paint on it.
Yeah.
But I think water paint is actually a literal different thing.
Well, I don't care. I very much stick to the bit.
Yeah. And so then she's like, I got to like jam the pole up there. But it's
jam the pole up there. You said.
Yeah, and she's gotta like pop this thing out. Now in US Survivor, now we saw in I think it was what in Ko Rong, like there I think there was an idol up in the tree like that, but I don't think they provided you with the pole.
Someone was binging like the late 20s to early 30s.
Ko Rong. There's a lot here.
I only have time to watch one season. Which Chrissy, maybe, anyway, that one person watched one season, they're taking all the good bits from it. It works. They also, they have Brain versus Brawn. Ko Rong is absolutely like essential viewing for Australian Survivor watchers.
Yeah, it's the spiritual successor.
Yes.
To Australian Survivor.
Yes. So, woman won. There's a lot there. And so, yes, it's like a team effort to like jimmy the thing down from the tree. Yeah. And then Khan gets it.
Yes.
In his hand. That's his idol.
Yes. Yes.
He gives it to Shay.
Yes.
Technically, like on the Wikipedia page of idols, like it should say that Khan found an idol.
I mean, this is like when Eric Reichenbach found the idol in Caramel and gave it to Andrea.
I think like, imagine if he didn't. Mm-hmm. That would be just like a game losing move on day three for no reason.
I mean, it was Final Destination. Khan's going to have an idol pretty soon.
Yeah, exactly. He earned it. Yeah, so I think obviously you pass it to her. And then she has an idol, but they don't split on her. And I saw this a lot on social media, which is, firstly, why aren't you like full splitting on Brianna and Shay? Secondly, why aren't you making Shay the primary so that you flush her idol out? And I think like it speaks to Shay's integration. Like they also really, really seem to want specifically Brianna out. So they can't risk Shay being the primary, not playing the idol, and then you're stuck still with Brianna, who seems to be causing problems. I think they don't want Shay to go. Like, I think Chrissy would be a better option for them. I think that is really impressive from Shay that they don't split on her.
Do you think that the players are thinking about who their loved ones are also when they're making these decisions in terms of like, okay, well, Shay's loved one is...
it's Ben, Rob. God damn it. It's the same guy who saved Sandra.
Yes, I know. Well, I know that. But are they looking at like, okay, well, Ben is sort of like a big guy who maybe we want to like the other bigger guys are saying, like, okay, we want to keep this guy in the game. He's that maybe he's a shield as opposed to Juicy Dave.
I think it's maybe more simple than that. And that maybe Shay just as a challenge competitor, like socially maybe, but also she is so strong. There's a lot of stuff where people like women needed to be on like the men's shoulders. If there's like a balance component, she's got strength,
right.
Like, She's really like the full physical package for Australian Survivor. So maybe they really didn't want to lose that early.
But Brianna's no slouch.
Shay, for sure. Like, for sure. I mean, I assume you have to be pretty physical to be a professional roller skater. But I said that in a sarcastic tone, but I actually don't know how I feel about that statement.
When she roller skates, is she like in like roller derby? Is she like fighting other women roller skaters?
Fighting?
Yeah.
Like wrestling?
Yeah, you never seen roller derby?
Absolutely
you don't
not.
Have that in Australia?
No, I don't think we do.
It's like full contact roller skating.
These are the conversations that Nina's having to have, and she still doing so
what
well.
What Brianna does? She just work at a roller rink?
Racing? I don't know. What is the sport of? Oh, maybe it's some like professional ice skating. Like maybe it's like tricks and stuff.
Well, she's roller skating.
Like a choreographed.
Let's see. She's.
How are you finding
Brianna roller skating?
Just Brianna, no last name. Brianna roller skating. And did you find what you were looking for? This is really legit.
Let's see. What's her last name?
Juicy?
No, wrong.
I don't know. Okay. Good child was Dave. So is that her?
Yeah, well, yeah, she's good child
okay.
also.
Well, that was a good,
okay.
good assumption.
Extra,
her dad's her last name okay. is her last name. So.
Okay, Brianna, good child, roller skating. Okay, let's see. So maybe is she an influencer of roller skating? She's a presenter.
I don't know that she's an influencer. Just because she's on Australian Survivor, that is a fair bet.
Yeah. So yeah, I don't really know exactly how she makes a living roller skating.
Yeah, I would think not, but I don't know enough about roller skating. I want to say she's no slouch for sure. Shay is just on a completely different level. Like physically, I think Shay could be one of like the strongest women. I mean, Sam on the other side, like the clear complements of each other, but Shay is very, very strong. I think maybe that contributes to her just being kind of essential earlier on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll buy it.
Should we talk about King Khan? Because I want to deep dive way too much into what became the store expedition to everything about that. I just have like a page on every part of this.
I love King Khan.
Khan is well known here. Very well known. He was on two seasons.
He is a master chef, right?
Yeah. Which is also a big show here. Bigger than Survivor. And I've never watched it, but everything I've ever heard is like, I love Khan. So I feel like really good casting on that. I'm sure people will watch for him.
He's very charismatic.
Yeah, he's really charismatic. He's really fun. He's definitely standing out as a character. What did you think of
his
week?
King Khan, Shannon, on a MasterChef? Or is that an original Survivor name?
Do you think they do as many nicknames on MasterChef?
Mm-hmm. I don't know.
I don't know. Juicy would make a lot more sense. Maybe someone should do it on MasterChef instead.
Yes. Well, actually, you know, my favorite thing with Khan was that when he went to the store and then he came back and he talked about how, like, you know, so he said he came back and he said, like, well, the pro is that, you know, I want to make them believe like that, you know, I have the protection and then I'm being honest with them. And he's like, the con is that it could make me a man. Like, no, you're the con. You're con. That's the con.
That was your favorite thing he did this week? Not a great week for Khan. Khan said his own name.
Yes, he says his own name.
By accident.
Okay, what did you ask me? What do I think about his physique?
No, what did you think of him this week?
Oh, this week? I was like, Shannon, like, don't make me objectify Khan on the podcast.
I think, no, it's good. Like, why are we doing what? You don't. Guess Rob. Unhinged.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I thought first the physique is good.
well, I'm going to ask you that about everyone now. Let's go through the cast list.
I thought the week is good. I thought that like they were setting Khan up to be for a little bit of a fall. I thought, but it was a fall that never came.
Yeah, well, that's my concern with Khan. Like, I think he's doing a lot well. I think clearly the architect of the Brianna vote, although I kind of feel like that vote kind of architected itself, but he's behind that the most.
The author of the recipe.
Yeah. He's cooking some stuff
for grilled
up.
Brianna.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Shaken, not stirred. I don't know. I'm not a cook. I shouldn't do with the metaphors, but just desserts for Brianna.
I got a cooked Brianna up over here.
but I was concerned for Khan that like he's like, oh, I'm just cooking. No one sees me coming, and everyone else is like, yeah, he's
let
the king.
Khan cook.
Yeah. But, like, should people be calling you the king week one? Is that, like, that could be worse than Juicy Dave. Like, you don't want to be the king week one.
Right. But I do think it's, is he, like, is that a, like, a nickname that he comes into the season with, that he is King Khan?
I don't think he's King Khan on social media, to which I say, thank you for your restraint, Khan. Thank you for not making a social media account with your nickname. I appreciate it. I feel like the King Khan thing was being very much put on him. I don't think that he was coming in with that.
King Khan ain't got something on me.
So I want to go through the whole store thing from the very beginning. Because there were so many decisions in this and they were just like kind of all a little baffling to me.
Yeah.
The first one being, so Blood send Dave, Juicy Dave, to the store.
Yep.
Thoughts on this as a choice? Because like it felt like Sandra and Dave were the options to go. So you want to send someone you really trust. There might be something there. Someone who's going to do well for the tribe, not be like individual in it. And they send the two people who end up being like the two people kind of up for elimination. I feel like those should be the last, you know, they're talking about Sandra and then they're talking about, then they send David. How are those the two names?
I think that they might've just had like mercy on Juicy Dave after his daughter got voted out.
Well, that's what Sam says, but Sam obviously trusts Dave at that point, not for much longer. But I think Sam really pushed it to not being Sandra and to be on Dave. So I think that might've been her influence for someone who was in her camp at the time. And she has the easy excuse of like, Brianna just left.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But that I just thought like from the production standpoint, I felt like this was a little bit of a weird scenario that they set up here.
In terms of what?
Well, I feel like, first of all, I think it's been a little weird in terms of like that they let the tribes have the decision to share the rewards.
I love that.
Throughout the season.
I love
it's,
that.
It's interesting. It's interesting. I don't know if I like it or not.
I love it because I always enjoy when they're given choices. Yes. And it's easy now because they all have loved ones on the other side. So it's like not a debate, but then like later on, they'll lose loved ones. They'll be mad at the other side. They you know, half the tribe or whatever won't have any stock in that. They'll actually want those people to suffer. So it might become more of a debate. And like, it's already, I think, been really interesting. So Water give over a reward to Blood. And then the next episode, Dave, who got that comfort from them, is like, no, I won't give you anything. So I felt like already we're getting kind of some drama out of that and some intrigue in the choices.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I enjoy that.
It's interesting. Like, I feel like that the first one I didn't like as much as this conundrum,
this
where
was,
it was yeah. like, okay, there's fishing gear and there's comfort. If you want, you could give one of the things. It's like when I were like splitting up the reward, it just seems like a little bit like not what Survivor is supposed to be.
Especially because the challenge to get those things are just like so brutal and like the hottest heat you will ever feel. And then like they both kind of get something anyway. It's like, wow, we really could have all just like laid down in the shade and just taken our rewards. But I still think anytime you give the players a choice, like I'm never really going to complain.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. So then here we have the thing where it's like, oh, you could take three items or you could take two and give them one.
Yeah. That's fine. And,
okay. So that's interesting. But then I felt like that then to give them both an idol.
Okay.
For free.
Yes.
To me, I felt like seemed like a lot.
Okay. Giving them both an idol was completely insane. I completely agree with you. Firstly, when they rock up to the store, it says any idols found won't count as an item. That's a very, very loose interpretation of the word found. Like any idol right. seen right like, in front of your face.
Like it wasn't. And I'm like, oh, are they gonna have to go through all the things? And then I thought that might have been interesting, where it's like, yeah. okay, well now it's like Dave, like, oh, hey, Khan, get out of here, stop touching everything.
Well, yeah.
I'm just checking this out. Yeah. But then to give them an idol, like I feel like that what would have been more interesting is to say the idol does count as a thing. So now explain, well, Juicy Dave, when you come back, why do you only have two things?
Well, they don't know what two or three. Oh, right, because they said it was going to be three. Did they say that on the map?
Yeah, they said it was going to. I mean, like I said, it was going to be three things. You get to pick three things out of the Survivor store.
There are so many interesting things they could have done that weren't this. Like they could have actually just given them a half idol that isn't an idol unless they come back together, which, you know, they could ask for it at a challenge or something like that. Like that makes it intriguing. Them just getting a full idol that could become a super idol for getting chosen to go on one random reward that the whole tribe won is completely insane. They could have had one idol there, although I still think a lot to give an idol, but hey, there's one idol, there's two of you. If you can't decide which of you is taking it, neither of you will take it. And you have to actually mm-hmm. both kind of unanimously decide. So then is it like, all right, well, you take the idol, but let's have kind of a back and forth where we swap it, or we you know, kind of make eyes at each other on the map that we can kind of share this idol, I think is interesting. Then they kind of have this like custody of this child together. Mm-hmm. I think that would have been really interesting. They could have, I mean, obviously, yeah, if they'd hidden it a little bit, if it had been a clue to something, or like a clue across the beaches where, okay, this will go to your beach and then you'll have to go to someone else's beach. Like there's so much you can do cross tribe with a trinket or so that would have put them in this like really uncomfortable position. Now it's like, okay, well, Juicy Dave already used the idol, but even if he hadn't, all right, you might not get a super idol, but you both got an idol. Like you're okay. That's fine. What a great day for you. Like you're fine. It's a good day for both of you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, Khan, I feel like, is going to be going to the very next, like, you know, challenge, be like, yeah. hey, and then Juicy Dave is going to be like, oh, no, I have to play an idol.
Yeah.
Kind of put my foot in my mouth, kind of blew it, you know.
Although,
they weren't voting for me, but I kind of wasted it, so sorry.
They weren't voting for me. They were voting for me, but only because of me. So I had to play the idol. It's hard to explain.
Yep. Shannon, do we have any issue with two idols equals the super idol?
It's my favorite way to do the super idol because it's so hard to do.
Right.
That moment in Korong that producer watched and loved. And it's definitely the most fun way to do it. I'm still pretty happy that the super idol is like not a thing for this season. Like I'm happy that didn't play out because I don't know that we ever need a super idol.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I just feel like that. It should always be. I feel like two idols should be a super idol.
Always?
I mean, what's the harm?
The harm is that people find two idols and then they have a super idol. And it's not collaborative.
Hmm.
Like, because, like, yeah, last season, Simon had two idols. If he'd been voted out with two idols, which was a huge moment in that season,
so.
He was voted out with two idols.
I guess so.
Spoiler.
Like, you know, how often do people have two idols?
In Australian Survivor, probably like every damn week. Like,
but like say the super idol, but you can use the super idol up until the final seven or something like that. They still have two idols.
Do we need it? Like, do we want that moment of Simon getting voted out with two idols?
Like, I feel like, you know, have we ever seen a super idol played?
No.
I mean,
yeah, because it doesn't need to, because it's such a like inhibiting factor that it's implicit mm-hmm. immunity forever.
Yeah.
So I don't know that we needed it. I thought that this interaction was fascinating to me because it mm-hmm. devolved, I felt, so quickly and then was like so negative for two people who know that they're going to share the custody of the super idol. Like, you best get along. And when Dave picks Khan. And I think that that's probably because he knows Khan from MasterChef. He likes Khan, like a public figure. And he says, like, mm-hmm. he seems trustworthy. We don't know the dynamics. Like, is he close with Amy on that side?
They both have great nicknames. Right.
Yeah, like King Kong and Juicy Dave. It's just a match made in Juice Heaven. That's just a natural pair. You would think that he would want to pick the loved one of an ally. So, I mean, I don't know enough about the dynamics to know if he's close with Amy. But he picks Khan, I think in good faith. But he's accidentally, and this is the fun of the Blood versus Water theme, he's chosen his daughter's killer without mm-hmm. knowing it.
Mm-hmm.
So they get to the store, and I just feel like it was so awkward. Like, I feel like Khan was like, he seemed like stiff because he knows about the Brianna thing. David's like kind of asking about Brianna, and Khan can't be like, oh yeah, I try to save her, because Khan's the architect of that whole move. He's yes. the one who served Brianna up on a platter. And so we kind of have to be like, oh well, she kind of screwed up, like, but mm-hmm. you know, she took it well. And then I feel like Juicy Dave met that like awkwardness with like more antagonism and just kind of elevated it to the point where now they have this idol together and he won't give him an item. Like, it's mm-hmm. a social game that's really rude to the tribe who just gave you comfort. That's really rude to Khan, who needs to come back with something for your July. And then that, like, he's like, well, I'm just going to tell them that you found a clue. And then they're trying to act distant because they shouldn't be connected over this idol, and kind of saying, oh, he gave me nothing on the mat. But I don't feel like that was fake. Like, I feel like this was just like such an uncomfortable duo who now aren't connected because Juicy Dave played the idol. But like, had they been connected, I don't know that would have played out. Like, how did that go so negatively?
Well, I think that what we found out is Juicy Dave is kind of awkward. Right?
A guy named Juicy like, Dave?
Yeah. And I just think it's interesting that you feel like that he should have given something to Khan.
I think it's like a no-brainer because they have this shared secret, and it behooves them both to come back with something and be like, this was the thing. Like, the thing was all about how much he would let me get, and here I have this thing, and here I have something to show for it. And also just like as a gesture of goodwill, like, hey, mm-hmm. You know, we're hoping to work together through this thing. Like, why would you be like, he starts the scene saying Khan is trustworthy, and then he ends the scene saying, I've sent him in like a grenade because I want revenge. Like, wow, that devolved so far, I feel, mm-hmm. in like this really negative interaction, which was like a social opportunity.
Again, I don't know if Juicy Dave necessarily is the mastermind. He's like in full like Liam Neeson mode of like that, you messed with my daughter. Now, like, I will find you, destroy you, King Khan.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't so surprising to me that Juicy Dave didn't handle it well. More surprisingly, I felt Khan wasn't great. Like, I feel really bad on Juicy Dave not to give the item. I felt Khan, who was so charismatic and so social and so likable, came across with a distance in the scene. Did you not feel like, maybe it was the Brianna awkwardness of it all, but I just felt mm-hmm. that he wasn't like, I'm so sorry about Brianna. Oh my God, it must be so hard. He was kind of like, yeah, you know, she kind of put a target on herself. I just felt like he came across in the scene. I just felt like it was a bit negative.
Yeah, no, I totally see what you're saying. And, you know, I just think that, you know, Dave, I think, really wants to come back and like say to his tribe, like, I gave them nothing. You know, he really wants to be able to.
I gave your loved ones nothing. Everyone loves that.
I gave your loved ones nothing. Yes.
Let them suffer.
And I think that he, like, we see it when he goes back to camp and he's like holding court. And for a while, it seems like that they're eating out of the palm of his hand. Sandra's like the only one who, you know, she famously sees through like the Johnny Fairplay lie. She has like a pretty high BS detector. But then when he gets, like, his story starts to unravel, I feel like, a bit when he gets towards the end of it, where he claims that he caught Khan, like, looked like he was trying to get something.
Yeah, well, what do you think they should have said? Like, what, because he says kind of nothing, just kind of explains the situation and kind of gives a lot of detail that was like trademark awkward for Juicy Dave. And then Khan comes back and says, I got this idol, but doesn't mention that it's a super idol. So what would you, like, because we used to do in Survivor New Zealand, like, this is really going back in the recaps, they used to come back from the outpost and we would say, name that lie, and kind of pitch out, like, what we think that they should have done. Like, what should the lie have been?
See, I think that Khan was fine. I don't think anybody, we got like, boy, I really don't trust Khan. I thought that everybody was like walking away from like what Khan said, and that was okay. But Dave, I don't even know what Dave was talking about after he got it. Like, everybody was like, oh, I gave them nothing. And I took all of the stuff for us. And they're like, hey. And he's like, and so then Khan is like going through stuff. And then he's got soap and he's putting it in his pocket. And I'm like, wait, hold on. What's that? Is that a-? And then I was not sure what the point of that other part of the story was.
I really didn't like what Khan did, to disagree. Because I felt like, Khan, you told them you have an idol. That's so much information to give. By the end of the episode, that is all you have. Like, his whole thing was like, but I didn't tell them it was a super idol, and I hid that it was a half idol. It's like, and now they just think I have an idol. Like, no, now they know you have an idol. That's the other side of that. Like, that's, I think, really threatening for someone who's already very threatening. Like, what would have been perfect would have been to be like, we did get what the twist should have been. We both got this half idol, but it's not activated unless we're together, which is so unlikely. But then it just takes one loved one eventually to say, well, Juicy Dave already played his as a full idol. So, hard one. I think put all the focus on the decision having been about items. Or even say, oh, well, you know what? If we there was one idol, literally the twist I gave, there was one idol we could choose between which of us to have, and we just couldn't come to an agreement. We both left it. We didn't want the other one to have it. We don't know each other. I just feel like, why come out and say, it'll definitely give trust for Khan. But also it'll make him like even more of a threat.
Yeah, I probably wouldn't have brought up I was commenting on like what Khan said. I didn't think that anybody seemed to take objection to. I think I would have come back and said,
well, Khan
if I
told
was
him
Khan,
everything.
But if I was Khan, I think I would have come back and said, like, yeah, I had the opportunity. He could have given me a thing. And I tried to beg with him and plead with him, but he was mad that we voted out his daughter and he didn't give me anything.
Yeah, exactly. Like, just make it about the items. Khan's trying to be sneaky and say, hey, like, I covered that it was a half idol. Now they don't know I have a super idol. It's like, in 12 hours from now, you don't even have a super idol. You just have an idol. You just told them every trick you have in the bag. You just don't know it yet. I felt like that was way too much information to give. I probably would have kept it simple. I mean, you can come in and give the whole story about what other twists, because again, there's a lot that the show could have done with it. There's a lot that you can read into that. But I just think, you know, you can probably keep it simple and keep it on the items. I did think that even though Dave was doing that, it did come across kind of like JD. Like, it was just awkward in the telling.
Juice.
should we talk more a little bit about Blood? And you know, never sentence I didn't think I'd say on a podcast, but almost 2 hours in here.
The Blood Tribe is fun.
They're the Kumbaya Tribe.
Yeah, Sandra doesn't like that.
Yeah, no, Sandra's a villain. Sorry, wrong Australian Survivor, American contestant. Sandra's been on a lot of Red Tribes, I was thinking. Now the actual Red Tribe. She looks good in red. That's what I was thinking. Like, I feel like I've seen this before. Mana, villains. Not Morgan. But, yeah, so what's your major takeaways from Blood?
Yeah, I don't really have too many takeaways. I mean, they seem like it was that we didn't really get a good sense of like what was going on there for a few days. I don't really get a sense of like the factions along the way. It seemed like that Kate was kind of on the outs. But I don't really get a sense of like, it's not like that. I feel like that there were, you know, Sam's people versus, you know, Sandra's people or Dave's people. It's sort of like hard to see where like the factions are.
Yeah. Well, like Water, it is that again, that homogenous group of central players targeting problem people who were Sandra. These are the groups that I just kind of loosely. So Ben's obviously defending Sandra and Sam's primarily defending Dave. Then we see it vocalized that Sophie's kind of on that side. Kate seems to be in their conversations, but is obviously an outsider generally. And then Ben ends up voting for her. Michelle seems to be in those conversations. And then it's mentioned that Ben is with Croc. Sam speaks to Jesse, Jordan, Jay, all the J's, all the purple J's, Amy. And then it's also kind of seen just having a lot of conversations also with someone like Croc. So I don't think that it's factions. I do think it's kind of this group, but those are kind of the relationships we're seeing. I thought for Ben to put himself out there for Sandra was interesting. Earlier, when they were deciding who should go to the store, they all kind of unanimously decide Ben. And I thought that was interesting too, like that he's the immediate go-to and he says no, which I thought was kind of interesting from an alpha male who can maybe afford to, you know, he's not going anytime soon. So maybe he can afford to go to something like a store, pick up a trinket, some crazy powerful trinket. But he's hanging back in that moment, but then he like really pushes with the Sandra thing. So it might speak to like the strength of that connection of why he would really put himself out there for that. And then in terms of Kate, because we've done this with all the boots this week, like how much do you put on her versus just the situation for going home?
I mean, we really saw nothing of Kate. I mean, it's hard to say with like anything. Going into that tribal council, I felt like, I don't feel like, I'm not buying that Sandra's going home. Dave has the idol. Like, I'm wondering, like, does Kate have a meltdown at tribal council where, you know, Kate talked about she's unsure about her position, but she really didn't. Dave had the meltdown. Like, Kate seemingly did nothing wrong other than being related to Andy.
Yeah, the Andy thing was hard. Like, Andy's threat level was so massive that it hit both of them in 1 week. And she wasn't the primary target. But I think as well, it's kind of like what I was saying about Andy. Like, no one vouched for Andy. And for Kate, if she had socially integrated enough, she should have been able to get past Andy's threat level. Like, there's something about the fact that she's not in the conversation. She's not getting information. No one is vouching for her. She's ends up being, it seems, a secondary for some reason to both Sandra earlier on and then what becomes Dave instead of Sandra even being the secondary. So to kind of get yourself in that position, for sure, I think also starting in a deficit, but I think maybe a stronger social player or just someone in a better group for them could have mitigated parts of that.
And I think also, you know, Kate doesn't come across as like, okay, she's going to help us win in the challenges. Yeah, it's not like that she has like a wealth of survivor knowledge like Sandra, where, you know, she's not really socially connected. You know, her loved one is already gone. And we see that being a major factor in these Blood versus Water seasons.
As led by Dave, though, like, oh, well, Kate's not really connected because she doesn't have a loved one. Like, Dave, there's only one other person in the whole game that that's true of. You see, Dave, it's you. Maybe that shouldn't be the reasoning and the pathway we go down, because that's not right for you. Juicy Dave, I mean, a little bit of a loose cannon, like targeting the queen and really driving it. Like, he just like changed overnight from zero confessional, mild-mannered Clark Kent David to super villain, throw out Sandra, don't give the other tribe an item, Juicy Dave. It's just, it was night and day.
Yeah, well, I feel like that Juicy Dave is probably done the next time that Blood goes to tribal council.
Do you think so? I feel like he could come back and just, because he was already apologizing. So, like, if he comes back and is just like, I'm so sorry. I have no idea what I'm doing. I'm so confused. And Brianna said that it would be okay and she's gone now. And I don't really know where I am and what's going on in the sky. I think he could do that.
I know, but he's already crossed Sandra, and we've seen what happens. Like when you cross Sandra, get ready for, you know, look at what happened to JT. She has made fools out of much better players than Juicy Dave, where it's going to be like the assault is coming from all angles at this point. Sandra is going to have all out war on Juicy Dave, and Juicy Dave already has his loved one out of the game. And so it's just like, who's going to be mad if Juicy Dave goes home?
Yeah, but also then are you fearful for a better player, stronger player like Sam? Because I think Sam had a good week and we'll talk about it, but then she's the one like really gunning for Sandra, like, you know, kind of taking on the mantle from Juicy Dave, trying to protect him. And then she even casts a vote for Sandra.
Yeah, but I think she was out on Juicy Dave at that point. I think it was just like a self-preservation type thing. I mean, she even says, like, I'm voting for Sandra. I hope that Dave goes home.
I know, but does Sandra care? I was like, oh, well, don't worry. You're only my, like, third backup to this vote. Sandra be like, I don't care, you wrote the name Sandra down? Like, I'm cool. On Talking Tribal, George and Haley were talking about Sam lying about that vote. Which I think, for me, just like, I don't know, I just feel like that never works. But like, maybe if you pin it on someone like Juicy Dave.
Pin it on Juicy Dave! Nobody's gonna believe that he didn't vote for Sandra after all that.
I don't know, I was surprised that George and Haley were saying it, because Haley especially, everyone was like, oh, when she voted for Danny, on like the blind side of the blind side of Simon, everyone's like, oh, just blame it. Because in that vote, George and Kara had been guests from the other tribal council. So it was easier than usual to be like, they're not even here. Like, it was them. And even in her deep dive, she was like, I didn't even think of that. Like, because it's so hard to do that. Like, I feel like it's so hard to just come out and just lie like that, to be like, it was juicy, David, juicy. And then you're like, it's kind of like when you play Mafia, like then you're in like a war of words where it's like, wait, no, it wasn't. And it's like, no, it was. And then you're just, do you want to get
Dave,
like,
oh my God,
match?
You are so shady.
Yeah. Like, oh my God, are you really lying about this right now, Dave? Like, what are you talking about? And like, Juicy Dave will not know what
Dave,
it is.
I had your back the whole day. Yeah. I was the one trying to save you. And now you're lying about me? That's it.
Wait.
Like, I think Sam's got this.
Yeah. Like, Dave, like, Juicy Dave, I apologized for you the entire day. You threw me under the bus. Now you're trying to say sorry. And you're lying about voting for Sandra. So how can I trust you? When you're literally lying as you apologize.
Sandra, you were right about Dave. Yeah. Like, I am so Sandra. Can I apologize to you? Because Dave is I can't even with him.
Yeah, that's not a good juice. I want my money back. Mm-hmm. You know? Just not a good juice. The fact that Juicy Dave isn't on like the water tribe, there's something there about all the liquids.
Yeah, because he's juicy.
Yeah, because he's juicy. Anyway, I don't know. I think that would be like balls to the wall. To like put it on. That would be so unfortunate. He would not know what is going on. If she just pinned that, comes back to camp like, wow, you voted for Sandra? You know, that's mean. And he'd be like, what? No, I don't. What? No, Brianna said this would be fun. I want to go home now. The juice wasn't worth the squeeze.
Brianna, I don't like Survivor.
I don't think I like Survivor, Brianna. I don't think
I don't know why you watch this show.
Yeah, it's not good. Otherwise, for Sam, how did you feel about her week? Because another big week for a big player like Sam Gash.
Very good. I feel good about Sam here. I mean, I think that she needs to, you know, keep Sandra in, you know, like her good graces. And like I could see some like competition for sort of like, okay, who is the queen of this tribe? I don't know if... Yes.
Oh, no, I
know who the queen of Survivor is, but I do think that there could be like, I think that Sam,
blood. I'm the blood.
Yeah. On the blood tribe. Yeah. I could see some sort of like a battle for power. Cause I think that they probably like, are going to be, in a similar capacity where I think that, you know, Sam probably wants to, you know, work with, you know, a lot of the guys, and like paved the way for, you know, eventually Mark to be part of what they're doing. Mm-hmm. And then I think Sandra also sees herself in a similar position.
Yeah. I think if those two go head to head, that'll be quite a powerful showdown. Cause Sam came out in 2017 and she was definitely like a hard aggressive player. And I said, she needs to like pare back on that for the return outing. And I think she has. I mean, it was still a very, very kind of like strong outing. I still think that, like, especially like compared to Mark, like Mark's a power player, but Sam like completely individually conducted a live tribal council. I think some of that's being put on her, and she didn't ask for Juicy Dave to say that about her, but it's like a big way to start the game. But I think that she's doing it well though. Like, I think if you're going to start strong, this is the way to do it. Like, I thought it was impressive that she's clearly at the center, and it seemed that the moves, both again, like, you know, saving Dave and then turning on Dave, were like completely at her will. And I think she probably would have got both of them done. So in the space of 6 hours, she made like two opposing moves happen just because of her influence on the tribe. So maybe that's too much too early. It's still not the strongest way she started a Survivor season, but it's impressively done and it speaks to her social connections.
I do think for Sam's sake, I think that the right move was still probably to get rid of Sandra in that spot, because, you know, if you sort of like I think that maybe that was maybe a little bit of like an impulsive move of like, all right, like we're going to vote. We're voting for Dave. And again, they don't know Dave has an idol. But
Dave always has an idol. It's the prophecy from Andy.
Dave always has an idol. But I do think that probably the better case scenario for Sam is that Sandra goes home, Dave plays his idol. She really, you know, puts Dave in the dog, Juicy Dave in the doghouse, and then has like a loyal person. But, you know, he crossed her the wrong way at the tribal council.
Yeah. I mean, I do think it was a little reactive. I think because you're kind of now against two people. Like, you've been campaigning against Sandra, but now you're like outwardly against Dave. But like, what's Dave going to do about it compared to Sandra? Like, Sandra will find a way. I think you're offended in that moment, but does it require the immediate switch? I probably don't think so, because Dave is harmless. You know, even Juicy Dave, like, what, you know, you come back, he's apologizing, you're like, uncool. Next time you go to tribal council, he doesn't have an idol, you're out. Like, and Sandra's gone. And she was the, I think, much more pressing threat. I'm still confused even how Sandra doesn't go home here, because we see it as them versus each other the whole time. They're like the two options. Like, how is she not the secondary on the split? I still don't really understand how she became the third. I'm grateful for
right. her, but like, I don't necessarily understand the upside of keeping Sandra. I think it just, she must have been so furious at Dave, where she must have been gotten so much pushback during the day. She's like, no, I'm telling you, listen to me. And what the hell is Juicy Dave doing trying to start, like, he has an idol. Like, why is he trying to do set off a live tribal himself?
I don't think he knows. Like, I think that's probably a pointless question. But I think as well for Sam, like, so he's saying that she's a social butterfly and that she, you know, kind of basically, like, what is true, it seems like she's the center of this tribe.
It took me a minute to even realize he was talking about Sam. Like, I thought he was talking about Sandra, because he's been talking about Sandra all day. Yeah. And he was talking about, like, well, the social butterfly of the camp is Sam. Like, what?
But is that like the best way to, like, that really validates that is, like, because that's, like, true of her game. So she's like, hey, don't call out my game. Now I need to get rid of you. Probably a better way would be like, oh, Dave, you know, classic Dave with the silly things he says. He also calls himself Juicy Dave. Dave just says things all the time. Anyway, let's move on to the next
Juicy
topic.
Dave has a good ring to it.
Yeah, my gosh. Well, yeah, I feel like she probably could have given that sentence, those claims, less power to just kind of paint, you know, Juicy Dave as a loose cannon, a loosey, juicy, goosey cannon. And just, you know, the next time it's like, Dave, that wasn't cool. You're probably out now. Without it being like, whoa, Dave said I was a social butterfly. And, like, I am. People shouldn't know this. Well, now I'm going to use my social butterfly tactics to get all the votes on him at this tribal council. Like, Juicy Dave was pretty much proved right immediately in that moment.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sophie says she loves Sam in her voting confessional. It's a lot. Okay. It's well done.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. What do you feel about the difference in dynamics of what we're seeing? Obviously, the first two boots, you know, proper boots, not, you know, the Candace Rupert of it all, but the first two boots in US Blood versus Water, their loved ones go on to win. Yeah. These first two boots, their loved ones go on to being voted for and voted out in the next tribal council.
Mm-hmm.
We saw two pairs voted for and voted out, like, four of the four people, two pairs. I feel like that's a very different dynamic than what we've seen.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know what it means long-term. I guess we have to see what happens, but I do think it's, like, pretty clean in terms of, like, okay, well, like, we still got somebody, like, okay, well, now it makes a target for the other person, where that the loved ones that voted out, I guess, like, instead here, we don't see Juicy Dave trying to bond with Kate of, like, hey, you lost your loved one, I lost my loved one, let's be each other's loved ones. That's not what's happening.
Do you think maybe it'll make for more of a pairs game? Like, if it's really like, okay, well, the individuals are getting picked off. If we kind of start with that mentality, we could kind of get to the merge with, like, six pairs and just be, like, picking off individuals.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It could be very interesting. I mean, you'd have to have, like, somebody, like, lose their loved one where the other, like, there's sort of, like, a disproportionate, like, amount of, like, game currency. Not fire tokens, but, like, where somebody's like, okay, their loved one is kind of a dud, but they're doing great. And they're able to, like, navigate around, like, well, now I have a target on my back.
Yeah. Well, in US Survivor, both seasons, it was Six Boot who, even John Cody, like, you have to also consider, like, redemption. And then also the fact that two people were immediately taken out. But, like, between the Codys and Dale and Kelly, I think it was around sixth place that a pair was taken out. So to have a pair taken out in three episodes and also another pair voted for in those, you know, like, the fact that it was both of the targets. Mm-hmm. It might be situational. It might be an Andy thing in that threat level. It might be a Juicy Dave thing and what he's doing. He clearly did it to himself. Mm-hmm. But I just think it's interesting because, yeah, based on precedent, I guess, like, Juicy Dave is the winner, like, because he had Brianna go home second. He's still there.
And Juicy Dave is not winning.
That you're going to say that now?
Yeah, I'm going to go on a limb. I'm going to say that.
I think the person you said last season was George.
George was
going to
win.
No, maybe you said George was going to win.
I think I made him my winner pick.
Oh, yeah. That's a bold take. You got close.
I love George.
Yeah, I mean, me too.
I said it was love at first sight. Take. Yeah.
Yeah. You really put your eggs in that basket. Mm-hmm. Did better than anyone thought.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of, George did very well in the chizzy. Should we get to the chizzy 2 hours into this podcast?
Sure. I have my notes that the blood tribe, like, I feel like that they were having like some weird conversations that I came in and I wasn't sure. I feel like talking about dreams.
Wet dreams. Yeah, you can say. Yeah. I mean, they're not the water tribe. They're still talking about wet dreams. Not right. I'm so sorry. Yeah. I don't know. This is my job to talk about these things. So I just wanted to.
It's in the show.
Yeah. It was, they said it. They aired it at prime time, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
A note we haven't said in the dynasty itself of Sandra's epic catchphrases. Where do you put adios, mate? I freaking love
adios, mate.
So good.
Yeah, I mean that was like the logical new twist on that.
I feel like you're coming in like, yeah, she didn't get voted out. Yeah, it was logical. I'm like, yes, adios, mate. Yes,
yes.
Iconic, yes. Sandra. Thank you for your time. Thank you for being here.
Very good.
I want to say adios, mate, to people.
I mean, you can.
No, I don't think I can pull it off.
Mm-hmm.
I can't pull off adios or mate.
You can't do either.
Do you guys have the word shocker?
Well,
these are the conversations Nina is having.
We do have the word.
Because when she says that will be a shocker, I didn't know if she was like trying to be Aussie or.
What does it mean for you?
Like it's shocking.
Yeah, okay. No, we have that.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Still great, Sandra. Thank you for your time and your efforts. Absolutely loving the confessionals. Like, I truly feel, I love all of Sandra's confessionals. And I'm hopeful because Australian Survivor, I mean, no one can overgive confessionals like Australian Survivor. So, like, are we going to see 200 Sandra confessionals? Because I'm here for it.
Yes. I mean, Sandra was, you know, here for, and the monologuing was happening.
And it was unbelievable. I have no complaints. I want more. I want everyone to be purple, and I just want Sandra to, I just want to see basically what she's doing 24 hours a day.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, the classic Australian Survivor edit is just like a lot of confessionals of like, I'm so good at this. Everybody else, what a bunch of morons. Mm-hmm. I can't believe that they even think that they're as good as me. How could you be as good as me? I'm the best that there is at this. Come on, people.
Yeah, and I think she can do it. I was thinking,
and then you just do like 100 different versions of that. All right, give it to us again. Tell us again about how you're the best. You never lose, and everybody else is not that good at this.
But Sandra can do it. And I was thinking, that it's kind of crazy how much one person can elevate a season for you. Mm-hmm. Like, and Nina's been amazing, and that whole kind of Sandra Nina thing. But like every time Sandra's on screen, it's really thrilling for me. Just even the littlest size, I thought it was really funny when she apologized for Nina beating up Kate. It's like, she's Puerto Rican, I'm sorry. Just like, and like, like my heart was racing that she wouldn't go home at that, you know, First Blood Tribal Council, which would have made me just so ashamed to be Australian. I would have been like renouncing my citizenship, going back to South Africa, which I don't even have citizenship, you know, anymore. I would have been stateless. And I just care so much, and she just, I'm enjoying the season for sure. I'm enjoying a lot of different people. I just want to just say that, like, Sandra's just hugely elevating everything for me, even more so.
It was a great decision to have Sandra and Nina be a part of the season.
She is a slam dunk entertainment-wise. As a player, hopefully we'll get to see more. And Nina is too. Like, wow. Like, whoever made that decision, give them a raise.
Mm-hmm.
She wasn't even on Co-Rom, and they put her into the show. So they even had to expand on their sites. All right, let's get to the chizzy. We can get through a lot of the other stuff, maybe in questions. We'll get to everything, I'm sure. It has been over 2 hours, but take it away, Jacob Sager Weinstein and MC Color.
Is that a mention of the blue and the red, finally?
Yeah. There is no blue and red. I don't know what you're talking about. Take it away, MC Water.
1, 2, 3. It's getting kind
of chizzy. 3, 2, 1. Okay, Rob, the first chizzy of the season. Do you want to give your points first?
3, 2, 1, okay.
That's how it goes.
Okay. 3, I have to give it to Nina. And really, it's really up the strength of the first episode. She kind of, she like a little bit got invisible after the first episode, but she was so good.
She did it
in the first episode. She, and I was just blown away where it was so fun watching her operate. I mean, she comes in here and she's like fully formed, as I like to say, where she just shows up on the beach and she's ready to go, like she's played multiple times before. And so I can't wait to watch what Nina does. I do think that Nina has a real shot to win this thing. I think I'd be surprised if Sandra can go the distance. I think she's up against incredible odds, but I think that Nina as the winner of the season, I think would be like a very satisfying ending if you are a Sandra fan. So, great, great start. She's in a great position. She has played flawlessly. So I would give 3 chizzy points to Nina.
I like that. I mean, I like how Nina was saying that they play Survivor like at Thanksgiving and stuff. And I thought that sounds really unfun. Like that sounds very, very fun in general, but not when your mom is Sandra. It's like, ah, I win again.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, then, one Thanksgiving.
Like,
Survivor. Yeah.
Like you vote out one of Sandra's allies. Does Sandra like take the turkey and like throw it out the back door?
Well, she like, accidentally dumps the turkey.
Yeah. Yeah. So, okay. All right. So then number 2. This was tough for me.
Okay.
I have a couple different directions to go. I will give 2 chizzy points to Sam.
Okay.
I think Sam is in a good spot. I like where she's at. Again, I think I probably would have said I think the better move for Sam is to vote out Sandra, but I feel like that, you know, she is not yet in a contentious relationship with Sandra. It seems like that she's well positioned. I look at her as sort of like the person who is being seen as the leader of this group. I'm not hearing her name come up other than Juicy Dave talking about her. Juicy Dave is going to be gone. I think that's going to potentially bring her closer to Sandra. Mark is waiting on the other side. I like the story of Sam and Mark. So I'll give 2 chizzy points to Sam.
Okay. Very fair.
And I could have gone 1 for Mark, but I feel like that Mark is like doing well because of like what he's not doing. You know, he's not going for, you know, the power position. And he's doing a good job of hiding, similar to Sandra, where Sandra is doing a good job, like keeping her name out of the fray. For 1 point, I know his name came up a lot. He was in the middle of everything, but let me give 1 chizzy point to King Khan.
Okay.
Because it looks like, you know, things could have spiraled out of control. I mean, once I heard Nina say, I don't trust Khan, but then that kind of went nowhere. Mm-hmm. And ultimately, he basically controls the second vote, comes away with an idol. I know you said you didn't like how he, you know, gave that information back to the tribe, but we didn't see anybody like talking about like, okay, when Nick comes back with, like, oh, I wasn't buying that story.
Well, what's not to buy? He does have an idol. He told them everything.
Yeah, so but nobody like walked away like, oh boy, that's really fishy of King Khan.
Well, how would it be like Nick lied so that people wouldn't know what he had? Like Khan told them everything. There must be a middle ground that isn't like being really fishy in your lie, but also not like giving them all the information you have about them. It's a good place you can pull it off.
King Khan.
1 point. I had a lot of similar names thinking about it. I'm going to give 3 points to Nina. Chizzy winner for the week, all 6 points. Just like, what a debut. Can't ask for more than that. Wow. Princess Nina has 6 chizzy points. She's a chizzy week winner. If people aren't watching this, they're like, I think they're really missing out on what we're getting. Like, wow. Like Sandra 2.0 getting chizzy points. It's thrilling to me. But yeah, her positioning, the move, the language, she's so aware, she switched on, she's social, she had to have so many awkward conversations about KFC and about Shocker, and she's American, and she can't connect on that level, and yet she's so socially integrated. So the coronation for the princess is in full effect, absolutely 3 points for her. I will give 2 points to Mark.
Okay.
I feel like you're underrating actively pulling back a little bit. Like he's vocalizing. It's not happening by accident. He's vocalizing it to us. I think he made specific bonds. He was like every single time anyone mentioned a group in this kind of like homogenous mess that was water, his name came up. So I think everyone feels great about him. I think he's powerful. I love the Nina connection.
He's got a great jacket.
He also, we didn't even really talk about, he's got a great jacket. That's what you can say about a guy. We didn't really talk about like him and Khan making their own connection,
mm-hmm.
which I thought was probably good for both of them. I really like the conversation where he's comforting Brianna. She's kind of not feeling great about how she needlessly called out Chrissy at tribal council when Chrissy was autoimmune. And he's saying like, oh, well, what else were you going to do? Nothing. And like, that's what he's doing. So I thought that was like a really good example of like the social relationship to make her feel better in that moment, but also like the strategic nuance and her like, yeah, do nothing. That's what I'm doing. It's good. Like, don't put yourself out in front. So I'm going to give 2 points to Mark, and I will, you know, give one to Sam as well. So the pair of Mark and Sam doing very well.
Okay.
A little bit concerned that she's so out in front. Can totally see how maybe she should have got rid of Sandra. But I feel like she holds tremendous power. She got her way multiple times. And like even in being visible in the tribal fight, I mean, that's really on Juicy Dave. And he was apologizing to her. Like, I kind of feel like I don't see how it could go so wrong for her soon because she's so well insulated and just seems to be so powerful. And obviously she is this powerful woman. She has to be herself. She's going to be dominant. That's how she plays the game. She's not a wallflower. But having intentionality in that and just like having it very be very controlled and positive, I thought was like a very good start in that play style. So, yeah, 6 points to Nina. We have 3 points for Sam. We have 2 points for Mark and we have a point for Khan. Khan, I've kind of spoken to a little bit of the red flags for me, although I think he's doing a lot right as well.
You mean blood flags?
Oh, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. Who am I? I said red. Oh, my God. I'll never say red again. I won't even say I read a book. I blood a book. What? Who are you? I'm very committed to the bit. I said red flag. I hate myself. Anyway, honorable mention I will give to Sandra for surviving.
Yeah.
And
nothing flashy this week for Sandra, yeah, but she stayed as she stayed out of the way. She did what she had to do.
Lucky to have her.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And really, just to go back to, like, I feel like that the legend of Sandra has gotten a little bit like misconstrued. But like when Sandra is at her best, like her game is subtle, like the game changer Sandra, the winners at war Sandra. Like I always say that I feel like that she got away from what her successful game strategy was, you know, that she needs to just like be under the radar, like give us our confessionals, but you don't need to be like engineering big moves for Sandra to win Survivor.
Well, I think with Sandra, I've always said that she evolves her game based on what she needs to do or how she's perceived based on her own great awareness of herself and how people view her. And I think in Game Changers, she knew she was saying queen stay, like queen stays queen. She can't be underestimated in that way. So she had to get away from it because it was pointless. And she just like ruled with an iron fist and was so epic in that way. I think she went a little bit back on that in Winners at War, could kind of hide a little bit more with all winners, but was still a huge target. So I think she kind of does what she needs to do. I'm interested to see how she feels she will fit into this season perception wise. Like, does she need to just go hard because people are coming for her and she needs to go out guns blazing and hope to kind of save herself in that way? Can she hide a little bit in the shadows that she kind of get lost in the shuffle? I think she will move to what she needs. I trust in that. But I think it'll be intentional. I think every way she plays is never by accident. It's not like she just floats to another play style. I think she assesses, this is how I'm perceived and this is how I need to kind of address that. So I'm interested in that. I also want to say honorable mention to Alex, because everyone just freaking loves that guy. He was super injured, couldn't walk, and no one wanted to vote him out except Andy. And then Andy went home for it. People hated that so much that he went home. So that's really good for Alex.
Yeah. I'll take your word for it.
What? He couldn't walk, and everyone was like, Chrissy said, I love that kid. Everyone wanted to play an idol on him. They had to play an idol on him because they had to play an idol.
They liked him. And then we didn't see him then again, really, after that.
Great. You know, keep working on your back. There's a chiropractor on that tribe. Get back in it. Unintended. I think.
Yeah.
It's a little bit less impressive that they all wanted to play idols on him now that I know they have to play the idol that night, but I still, and he was like the presumptive boot, but still, they love that kid, and he's Sam Frost's brother, and that didn't even come up.
Okay.
Australia's sweetheart to the water sweetheart.
Mm-hmm.
I have JLP tweets for you.
Great.
I have to apologize in advance
Why?
Because JLP was just, I don't even know. I don't even know what to say.
He was on one?
He was on what?
Just a wild hair?
It was a lot. Okay, I'm just going to jump into it. Wait. I wish we had a theme song for JLP tweets. Anyway, I don't know. Sometimes you just put something out on a podcast or something comes back to you. We'll see. He said, loving this intro, but man, is it long. Thank God for hashtag depends.
So the intro to what? The Survivor theme song?
I think he means like, because the first, like there wasn't an ad until like 30 minutes in of the premiere.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So that it was very long, but thank God for depends. Do you know what depends is?
Yes. No, I yeah.
Because I have to Google
it. They are adult undergarments.
Yeah. For incontinence.
Yeah. So yes.
JLP is saying that the intro was so long that he had to pee his pants.
Yes. So maybe this could be the origin story. Has JLP maybe consumed too much juice, or perhaps
water.
Shannon, too much blue.
Don't,
you know, if you know what I mean.
No, don't.
Too much of the water, where it's like, hey, like I will never say the W word again. Look what it wrecked my entire system. I'm a young man and I wear adult undergarments.
Yeah, I mean, you would think blood might be a little bit more of an aggressive term, but
yeah.
I just think to start before the first ad break and already be, I mean, referencing your own incontinence. I also think he hashtag depends. Is this product placement? Are we going to see? Are we going to see the brand later on the show?
Yeah. Well, maybe it's like, all right, this challenge is going to last for 11 hours. And so we have our new sponsor here.
See, that's using the old Nong, and that's some good marketing.
Mm-hmm.
Because famously, Amanda Kimmel had to drop out of a challenge to go pee, right? An endurance challenge. So that's what, you know, because the Australian Survivor final challenges are more and more brutal. Last season, it was a torture chamber on a bed of nails. This season, it's not that high, but you will stand up there so long that you will be peeing yourself. Hashtag depends.
There's a long history of people who have, peed their pants during endurance challenges on reality TV.
I don't feel like I watched that show, and I'm fine with it.
Yeah.
People need to train that. We never talk about it. We never hear about it.
Yeah.
So that's how JLP started. And he goes on. This one's fine. He says, my love letter to Chrissy. Come to tribunal council tonight and meet me by the podium when no one is looking. I have something special for you. Winking face. With undying love, JLP.
Whoa.
Doesn't say XOXO even with Sandra on the season. Doesn't have that too.
Now who is Chrissy married?
I don't know. She has three kids.
Okay.
I don't know. In the family scenes of her and Croc, I don't see another partner.
Yeah. If she has a husband, looks like Croc, I'd watch it.
Yeah. JLP just gets beaten up by a Croc lookalike. Why would a husband look like Croc? You think like two sisters just marry a similar?
I don't know. I feel like maybe sort of like in her family, it's like this is like what is expected. You know, like bring home like some like rugby type guy.
Yeah, so her sister has Croc, and she's like, this is my husband, Allie. Mm-hmm. Allie Gator. So dumb, so sorry. Enjoy the wholesomeness before the rest of the JLP tweets.
Okay, all right.
He tweets, the heat this season was no joke, and then a gif that says, it feels like a hot fart outside all the time.
A hot what?
Fart.
Hot fart.
Hot fart? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. He tweeted, ooh, a super idol with a thrusting gif.
Is that him? Is that what like the super idol does to him?
There was no context given.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, the super idol's done now, so we never have to find out why.
Okay.
But it was this 1-2 punch.
Okay.
So he says, Croc just whacking away at his log, showing it no mercy.
Yeah, I had that in my notes from the episode. Yeah.
Yeah. He then tweeted, very similar tweet, cousins Josh and Jordan punishing their logs woozy face, showing no mercy.
Mm-hmm.
Did he say punishing their logs on the show?
Yeah.
He said punishing their logs.
So let me go back to the immunity challenge there. And
I love that you wrote this down. Very important stuff. This is
very, very important. A very important thing. Yeah. Mark is whacking away at his log, was what he said on the show.
Yeah. So that was the first feat. Punishing mm-hmm. their logs, possibly even a step further. How else can he say this on TV? Like, how is that where we're at? Anything to get in people against masks, you know? We just need to, it needs to get raunchy.
Yeah.
It needs to, yeah.
Sure. What was the emoji you said he used?
Oh, this is funny. When I copy the tweets into like a notepad thing to just kind of put them in my Word document, it titles identifies. The emojis.
Yeah. So, so what emoji was it?
Woozy face is what memo notepad.
Woozy face. Gotta look that up.
Cousins Josh and Jordan punishing their logs woozy face. So upsetting to be Jordan, I think, has no confessionals. Josh, I think, has one confessional between two people, and punishing their logs being everything we've said about them on this podcast.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Woozy face.
Yeah, woozy face. So I've looked it up now. Yeah. Whoa. Yeah.
When he introduced Josh and Jordan, he's like, Pilot Josh and his personal trainer. Cousin, like for a while, it's like he's on with his personal trainer. They just like love each other so much. Spend so much time in the gym that he's on here with his personal trainer.
Mm-hmm.
And again, that's all we know of that pair. We have some questions from the listeners, though.
Okay, great.
Let's do it. Kale Garling says, "Who is Rob's winner pick?"
My winner pick, I feel like, at this hour, you know, I feel like, after 1 week, I have to say I'm gonna go with Nina, but I'll say that my other pick is Chrissy. So, but I'll say that Nina I think has the higher upside.
That'd be crazy if Nina won Australian Survivor. Just anyway, how far we've come as a global Survivor family.
Mm-hmm. Passing of the torch, literally. Yes.
That would be crazy if Sandra's daughter wins and then come back to Survivor South Africa, Nina. And one of the Fields boys' kids in 25 years, we'll get all the franchises, and we'll just, Well, I've always thought, Rob, like, maybe you want to introduce Anthony or Dominic to one of Boston Rob's daughters. And, breeding Survivor players, because then their kids will be the dynasty.
Yeah.
Yeah. No?
Are we allowed to talk about this?
What?
I feel like it's a little weird. We're breeding people.
Well, it's your kids. We're breeding your genes.
Yeah.
Don't you want a dynasty? Yes.
I mean, I don't think we have arranged marriages here.
We do in Australia. This is what Nina's having to work out with the water tribe.
Why can't my kids just play on their own? Why do we have to breed a new survivor?
Yeah. Well, first we have to see if they're good, if they're even worthy of any other player's kids.
But Sandra's daughter is out there doing great.
Exactly. Anthony and Dominic might be terrible survivors.
And who knows if Sandra's husband is good at Survivor.
I just think that if you were to get Nina and one of Cerise's sons, like, I just think that they would just be like, it would just be so epic. I'm so attached to it.
It could be.
Okay.
But we don't know if Cerise's son is good at Survivor.
His mom is Cerise.
It could skip a generation.
Well,
who knows?
Yeah.
Who knows?
All right.
I mean, Rupert the cat isn't good at Survivor.
I actually understand what you mean, but I feel like many of our listeners for our Australian audience will not. There was an ad during the football for Survivor, and Rupert was a cat. more than that. Okay, we have more questions. Ivan Ornelas asks, what do you think are some of the key differences between Sandra and Nina's gameplay? Because in many ways, they're approaching this game similarly, but not exactly the same.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah,
I think Nina is being a little bit more aggressive. Like, I think she is like a little bit more with like her foot on the gas. Like, I think she's a little bit more like that. She's on offense, where I think that Sandra is having to, like, you know, stylistically they have a similar game, but I think that Sandra has to be a little bit more on defense.
Yeah, I would say the complete opposite. Like, not Sandra on this season. I mean, I do agree that offense, defense on this season, because Sandra's having to really protect against something. But in general, yes. I feel like I call them both bloods, but I feel like Nina is more the water to Sandra's blood, which is a duality mm-hmm. that exists. Like, Sandra comes out hot. Like, she can get loud too. Even though she's, like, underestimated and sometimes under the radar, I feel like in affect, it's always quite big. Nina, to come in with such a soft approach to pull the strings kind of behind the scenes, even though it's an aggressive move, it's done in that softer way.
But we've all, very small sample size here.
I know Nina. Everything about, like, Nina Twine at this point.
I mean, if we just watched the first episode of Survivor Pearl, I mean, you see Sandra, she's running around like she's wheeling and dealing in the the Panamanian village. I don't think you see her get loud too for some time.
Do you think that Nina will get loud too?
Oh, I think certainly.
I can't see it. Like, from the one weak sample size that I have, I feel like she can't get as loud. I don't think she'll get as loud.
I don't think she can get as loud as her mom, but I bet you she gets a little fiery with somebody.
Yeah, possible. I think as well for Nina, like, she has the benefit of 20 years of this. Like, they both have skills. They're both really smart. They're both aware. They're both social. Like, that stuff exists. But when Sandra came out at the beginning, she didn't have 20 years of all the teachings and experiences. And now Nina has that. And I think that only kind of improves on it. Like, Sandra's had to go through seasons and seasons to evolve things. She's made mistakes along the way, but she's, like, absolutely honed her craft and her skills. And Nina comes in, I think, like, a little bit more well-honed from the beginning. So it's deadly. Like, it's a good winner pick. It's a deadly, possibly just a deadly.
Who was your winner pick?
Shay.
Shay.
Okay. It was Mike's too. Mike tried to get two winner picks. That's not the first time he's done that. Can you talk to him?
Who's his other winner pick?
Jordy. Because, well, he picked Shay, and I was like, oh, well, I also picked Shay. Jordy's had one good... Jordy's doing not bad. He's social. He's
the overalls guy?
Yeah, the overalls guy.
Okay.
Mike can't have two winner picks. Just talk to him about it.
I'm going to speak to him about it.
Thank you. Fire him. So...
very sad news, everybody. Yeah. We have to let Mike Bloom go, of course. Mike, very talented podcaster, but it came to our attention that he... tried to get away with two winner picks on Australian
Multiple
Survivor,
times
which
he's done it.
Is clear no-no and cannot be done. So, Mike, we wish you the best in all of your future endeavors. Thank you for all your contributions to RHAP. But, hope everybody else can learn from Mike's very sad mistake.
And then Mike's going to have to put a notes app apology where he's like, I've really reflected on it and I should have just one winner pick and trying to
frankly, he should do it now.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah. I want the notes app apology. When Mike gets 2.5 hours into this podcast, I want him to say sorry to me. I want him to say sorry to the listeners. I want him to say sorry to the fandom. And enough of this. Enough.
Enough. Stop.
Yeah. No, it's please.
It's unbecoming.
It is. Last question. Tommy Guam asks, what's the airing schedule going forward? So I just wanted to point out that it is on Sunday night.
Okay.
So not Monday night, because Sunday night last week was the tennis finals. Be really dumb to go up against that. That was Monday to Wednesday. I think we're going Sunday to Tuesday next week. So if you're listening to this and it's past Sunday, you're late. You're out of luck. So.
Okay.
Yeah. I just wanted to get that out there, but there's a lot going on, Rob. There's a lot of content coming out for Australian Survivor. The exits, as I said, evolving story, but Talking Tribal is out. That's out. That's our longest discussions ever now, because now it's like pure discussion. So I'm doing that with James Matheson, Haley and George. And the podcast version of that is 1 hour and 15 minutes. So I don't I've done another 2.5 hours on it. Talking a lot. I mean, I know you do it for US Survivor every week, Rob. At least I have 4 hours of content to go on. But a lot of talking about Survivor happening. So check that out. We had a fun chat this week. I'm doing some articles now for Channel 10 that I wanted to plug, which is fun for me, because I never get to write about Survivor, but I'm a writer in my day job. And I'm just loving it. Like, I did 10 seasons that Australian Survivor fans need to watch. I did a bit of a spoiler-free rundown on Blood versus Water, kind of also a bit of an ode to the theme, a bit of a critical analysis of kind of how Blood versus Water changes the game. And then one that I think just came out, just got a text. I'm really, really proud of this one. It's a bit of a history of Sandra. So for any Australian Survivor fans who haven't seen Sandra, they would be, spoiled, but they kind of get to know her. But I think for the super fans, it's really just like a tribute, as if this podcast hasn't been enough, but like a tribute, chronological tribute through her seasons, and also a little bit of analysis of her game. And just like everything that she's contributed to the show. So I hope
where do we go to read that?
So that's on Template. So the same place that you can get Talking Tribal. I will also share it on all of my social media. Mm-hmm. Very, very proud of that one because I just love writing about Sandra. I was like, oh, I should do this on the weekend when I have time. And before I knew it, I just kind of like sat down at the keyboard and written everything about Sandra. So really appreciate anyone who checks it out, who shares it, even if you have more casual Australian Survivor fans who are friends of yours who, you know, might want to know more about the Blood versus Water theme or Sandra or what seasons to watch. Because I'm trying to like write a bit for a super fan audience to appreciate, but also Australian Survivor fans who don't know as much. So anyone mm-hmm. who shares that around, I am very grateful.
Yeah. Well, Shannon, you are on fire.
Thank you. I mean, it's a lot going on. I wasn't ready necessarily to step back into Australian Survivor. It kind of like snuck up and it's a lot.
Here we are.
But it's a lot of fun. I'm very grateful for everything that we're doing with it.
Yeah. Is this the first of two 22 seasons or 2022 seasons of Australian Survivor?
I haven't got any confirmation on that. But my understanding was pre-COVID. So 2020 was the first year they put it in February. Mm-hmm. And then the intention was to have the regular kind of July, August season. And then COVID skipped a July and a February. Then we got another July season. So I'd assume without COVID that that would be their intention if it's the same as it was 2 years ago.
Yeah.
Yeah. But so much.
There's still COVID.
Yeah, we can make it work. I mean, there's always still COVID. You know.
Yeah.
Without COVID, that's not the right term. Yeah.
Yes. Right.
So make it work.
Okay. All right.
And Rob, what do you have going on
I'm so glad we were able to fit this in to talk about Australian Survivor, but we're getting ready for Celebrity Big mm-hmm. Brother. I know you just had your own Australian Big Brother VIP.
Yes. Yes. And Survivor royalty himself, Luke Chokey, won it. So very close connections here to what we're talking about.
Yes. And so we are going to be getting into American Celebrity Big Brother coverage kicking off on Wednesday night.
Yeah. Isn't that right now?
That's when I am going to quickly eat dinner and take a shower and then watch the premiere of Australian Big Brother. Celebrity Big Brother.
Just take a deep breath. Yeah.
And then get ready to podcast that.
Yeah, you do a lot, Rob. I'm grateful for you being here. I'm grateful for you giving up so much of your time to watch so many hours of the show.
Yes. I'm grateful just to even be included on your coverage of Australian Survivor. It's you're just, the best there is at this. And I'm so proud to have you as somebody who I get to work with on this stuff. And so I am just trying to keep up when it comes to talking about the show.
Thanks, Rob. I appreciate it. I wanted to thank you. I wanted to thank the listeners as well, because I just, podcasting now for about 4 years and just thinking about it, and you get to people who are here in the podcast 2.5 hours in who want to get into the weeds with the stuff, who are asking questions like, well, what happened with that kind of errant vote, who have made Juicy Dave so successfully into a meme just 1 week in, mm-hmm. to the fact that when he dropped the Juicy Day thing, like, I feel like it was a thing. And I just want to like say thanks, because if you care about that stuff, you care enough to be here 2.5 hours into that complete madness. I'm singing some promo songs. I made pun alligator. I really want to reference back. I'm very proud of that pun. But like, if that's something that you're here for, you're my people and I'm your people. Mm-hmm. And I just really love the community that's been building. And it's really just what I enjoy so much about podcasting. So I want to thank everyone who maybe is here for the first time and it's like, what are you doing? Because of the Sandra connection, or who's been here all along, or who found it along the way. Like, thank you for being my people. And yeah, thank you for starting again with me on the absolute mammoth effort from all of us that is Australian Survivor. I'm very appreciative of all the listeners.
Yeah, and if you're listening to the podcast and for whatever reason you are saying like, wait, how do you watch this show? We mm-hmm. do make it very easy for the patrons of Rob is a Podcast. Oh, yeah. If you head on over to robiswebsite.com/patron, it's very easy to watch Australian Survivor with us.
Yes, no Paramount Plus, unfortunately, but patrons are fine on that. No panic there. Watch parties were happening all week. So it's a good place to chat about the show as well. Some extra question threads in there. So next week I should have, just clearing it all, but I should be having Evie from season 41. They were keen to check out Australian Survivor. Obviously Sandra is there mm-hmm. and they're into it. So it's going to be a great guest, but follow at Rob Cicinino, follow me at Shannon Gates for all the content I was talking about, Talking Tribal, this, hopefully eventually exits, all those articles. Subscribe to the International Survivor Hap-Ups feed. And yeah, a lot of content coming out, but thank you everyone so much for checking it out. Thank you, Rob, again, for joining me on this madness. Thank you to Scott St. Pierre behind the scenes, and I will see you guys next week. Bye.
Australian Survivor.
Survivor New Zealand.
Survivor.
Survivor.
21 South Africans. 12 ordinary Australians.
16 New Zealanders.
Vincent Middle.
Give me the swammer.
£1 million.
Million euro.
Million shekel.
Aldi. Million rubli.
Tribes both. Tribes
both. Shiva top there.
Shit.
Tribe.
The adventure of a lifetime.
The adventure of a lifetime.
Adventure of a lifetime.